much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello, my name is Zach Olympia Dukakis, and I'm coming to you from the year 2015, where anything is possible. For instance, I've implanted a radio inside my head where I can listen to tuba music all day long.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
What season are we coming up to on Glee? Have the songs gotten harder for you performing them? Or what's the deal? What can the fans expect?
I'm gonna skull rape you, keep you in a cage in my basement, then dump your corpse behind Walmart.
Well, that sounds bad when you say it like that.
I know.
Anyway, it's happening tonight at the Wiltern Theater. I hope you all have a front row. At the Wiltern Theater on Wiltshire and Western in Los Angeles.
Our feature presentation.
How can we all have a front row?
It's impossible. I hope we do too, but I don't think so.
It's nice of him to wish that.
Sure.
But there's only so many seats.
How sad to hear when Rodney died. That was a loss to the radio industry when he
still
passed
away. Still very much alive.
All those years working hard on K-Rock. And
still very much alive.
Kevin, he's alive. He's not very much alive.
Good point. He's hanging on.
Yeah, exactly.
Does anyone know if he's still doing the show? Does he show up, or are we just off the air during those hours? Does anyone know?
I assume he does.
The answer is no one knows.
No one knows, right?
That's right.
Appropriately, because we just played that song, but no one knows the answer to whether Rodney's actually still alive or not. You're just assuming, just like I am. And I prefer to assume he's dead.
Good morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Monday morning.
All right, so there's one thing I've learned from watching the news for all these years. It's that you don't feed wild animals. Just not a good plan.
Right.
With bears, raccoons, deer, whatever it is, once you start feeding it, then you kind of have broken the boundary between wild animals and people, because now they're not afraid of you, and they're not afraid to get in your face, they're not afraid to come to you, and they're not afraid to ask for things. And that's a lesson that has been learned by a man who runs a tour company. He's an airboat captain in the Everglades in Florida.
When you say ask for things, you mean demand things.
Yeah, true. He thought it would be fun to start feeding the alligators. And again, alligators, you want them afraid of you. You want to be mysterious to the alligator. You don't want them to think, hey, there's my guy, right?
I get sweets from that guy, and if not, I take him down.
Exactly. So he's got a tour, he's out on the boat and he's taking tourists around the Everglades and whatnot, and he's showing off, and he, holds out food, and the alligators, they jump up out of the water and grab the food out of his hand.
Awesome.
And I think we all know where this story is.
Yes, we do, and I love it.
He's got 6 tourists in the boat. This happened just a couple of weeks ago. 63-year-old Captain Wallace Weatherholt runs Captain Doug's Small Airport Tours. He had an Indiana family of 6 out with him, and they watched as he held a fish above the water's surface, and the alligator leapt up and took off his hand.
Yes. He's like, he's only his hand.
I know. I didn't know if the whole guy was going in the water or if it's just a body part.
God, you're dumb.
He was able to drive himself back to the docks. Meanwhile, wildlife officers, and by the way, not the alligator's fault.
No.
Tracked down the gator. I don't know how they found one gator of many in the Everglades, but they tracked it down and killed it so that they could retrieve the man's hand. But the doctors were unable to reattach it. And here's my favorite part of the story.
By the way, I'm already upset at this, because at this point they go, look, your hand's gone.
Yeah.
And that's your fault. So, right. Hey, sorry. Good luck.
I think doctors do everything they can to try to reattach body parts, though, if it's possible.
Anyway. Agreed.
But I guess it was there was too much damage done. But here's my favorite part of the whole story. Like, that's not already enough. Since feeding alligators is a second-degree misdemeanor in Florida, he was also arrested and held in jail for $1,000 bond until he posted out.
Without a hand?
Yes. I mean, awesome. I'm sure they let him go to the doctor first, but then whenever that was done, they said, okay, now come with us. So you get arrested and have to pay a fine, I'm sure, is ultimately what it's going to end up being. You've lost your hand. That guy had a crappy day.
he really did.
But it's all on him.
It is on him.
He had a crappy day, but it's because of decisions he made.
But don't you think if you've already lost your hand that the police should go, maybe we don't arrest this guy for feeding alligators. Maybe he's already learned his lesson.
Doesn't work that way, Bean.
It doesn't, but occasionally it should.
Yeah.
I mean, they could look at the guy and go, I'm sure he'll never do that again.
I'm sure he won't with his one good hand.
Problem solved.
So, good times.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
I hope that's a rhetorical question because I can't answer it.
It is, actually. We are going to talk to TMZ.com about all the celebrity gossip that went on over the weekend.
Okay.
We have Petros Papadakis in the studio.
The pee.
I'm sorry, Lisa, could I hear your impression? Thank you.
Pretty accurate.
We have highlights of the Olympic opening ceremonies.
They're still going on, though,
I think,
right?
They're still going on, yeah. I think they're up to Gabon. The worst national anthem maybe ever.
Oh, really?
And that's saying something.
You heard a bad one, huh?
Very bad one, yeah. Okay. It was at
Lisa,
you're
going to love it so much.
It's at the Galaxy game in Dallas. And, boy, I'll tell you, you just can't believe it.
Really?
You just, they, and I was thinking about the poor people in Dallas, like the organizers who set that up. Like somebody was going, oh, no, as soon as she started singing. So that's good times. We have tickets for the world premiere of Campaign starring Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis.
Cool.
Going to give those to you. We're going to take your calls on pranks that you played on your family or friends. We're going to talk U.S. Open of Surf. And we have LaQuisha talking about keeping up with the Kardashians.
Oh, bless her heart.
So that's all coming up this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is The Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 6.
Who's that guy filling in on the Showbiz Beat? It's not an L. It's not Stryker. It's not Lisa. Who is it? Who's that?
That never gets old. It's really, that's good.
Ralph Garman.
Yes.
What's going on, man?
It's Showbiz Beat.
How
things
are you?
In showbiz news are happening.
It's been a long 2 weeks.
Bringing them to you.
We missed you.
Yeah. It's not what I heard. Not what I heard, people. But I'm back anyway, so screw it. Can't stop me. I will not be kept down by the man. I'm back.
Who's the man?
I don't know. All right. You tell me. Good to be back, boys and girls. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. It is Monday morning, as we do on Mondays. We take a look at the top 10 box office smash hits, see how people are spending their box office dollar. And no surprise, The Dark Knight Rises continues in the number one slot, $64.1 million. Made it number one for the weekend. A lot of people saying, well, that's 60% down from last week. So I'd say, oh, I forgot to mention, it's $64 million.
Yeah,
so shut up.
Crazy.
Yeah, craziness. Meanwhile, The Dark Knight Rises earned another $122 million overseas. That brings its total to date worldwide to nearly $540 million.
For a movie that's been out for 2 weeks.
Not too shabby.
Wow.
Ice Age 4 Continental Drift was second at the box office. The Watch, in its debut, made $13 million, good enough to make it number three. Step Up Revolution, Stop Up.
I wish you could have been here.
It's a revolution.
I wish you could have been here Friday, Ralph, because Dave was trying to gather the peeps.
I saw the emails and tweets of him trying to get someone to go with him.
He wanted everybody in the office to go. We were all like, all right, sounds fun. Then it got to be Friday. It was 10:30. We were like, I don't think I'm going to make it.
You know what? I can do anything else.
Poor Dave went by himself.
Oh,
I did not see it because I slapped through it.
I'm going to go myself.
It was slap up revolution for me.
It's not my fault.
Ted, still hanging in the top five, $7.4 million. The Amazing Spider-Man was number six. Brave, Magic Mike, Savages, and Moonrise Kingdom. Rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Weekend showbiz news. Congratulations to my buddy Mark Paul Gosselaar and his lovely, lovely brand new wife, Catriona McGinn.
She's hot.
She is very hot, and she's adorable. They were at the altar on Saturday saying their I do's, so congratulations to those guys. They're a lovely couple, and I hope everything goes well for them. More news. This is sort of showbiz related because it certainly was a big topic with the celebrity set, especially those who were fighting for the right for gay people to get married. Of course, they've got a problem with Chick-fil-A, which has publicly come out and said they support organizations that are battling against gay marriage. Well, Donald Perry, the top public relations executive at Chick-fil-A, died of a heart attack on Friday.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I guess the fight got too much for Donald.
Wow.
He passed away. And,
or was he killed by a gay? Did you ever think about that?
Or was he? There are people saying that if this had happened, if he was a pro-gay marriage executive, people would step in saying, God, smote him
right.
for his evil beliefs. But at this point, the religious right is very quiet about Mr. Perry's passing. So maybe God only kills one side, doesn't kill the other. I guess you have to look at it that way. And remember the internet sensation Karen Klein? 68-year-old woman who was riding that bus and was horribly taunted by those miserable kids from middle school.
Yeah.
Who poked at her and cursed at her and just tormented her ruthlessly by these young bullies. She has decided that due to all her internet fame, she is going to pack up and retire.
Good for her.
Yeah. She said, I guess it's my time to leave because of what happened to her. It became so public on YouTube and in the rest of the media. I guess it doesn't hurt also that the online fundraising campaign to get Karen a short vacation from her job has to date raised over $700,000.
Wow!
For her.
She's going to have a great retirement.
That's not a short vacation.
No, that's a retirement fund is what that is.
That's
so
awesome.
She has decided to leave the obnoxious little snot-nosed kids behind on the bus, and with $700,000 in her pocket, who can blame her?
Wouldn't you go one more time?
I would. I'd go back strapped. I'd go back with a Glock and one of those batons that you flick and it comes out and makes a big 3-foot-long metal stick. And I'd bring some pepper spray and some X-Lax. And I would tell the kids it's chocolate. And I would say, oh, I got chocolate for you guys. I missed you so much. And I would watch them just crap their pants as I beat them with a baton.
That would be very satisfying.
It would be. And then I would use these $700,000 for bail. I go.
They identified most of those kids, I guess, involved in that. And didn't they suspend them for a year?
Yeah.
They were out of school.
They all got booted out of school and they had to go to some like low-rent criminal kids school. Really, they had to go to some school that was reserved for youth offenders.
So now they're going
to
come.
So they don't
get
like a vacation off for a year. They have to go to like crappy school where there's a lot tougher kids than those privileged middle class kids will punish them and bully them and make them feel like crap.
Did one of those idiot kids, was he the one who filmed that and put it up somehow? Did they like
hope?
I believe so.
Blow the whistle on themselves,
yeah,
essentially.
I think one of the kids posted because they were so proud of their heinous behavior that they actually posted on YouTube, and that's what set the ball rolling. So.
That's sweet.
Yeah. There are sometimes, just sometimes, mind you, silver linings to those dark clouds in Hollywood. This may be one of them. You guys, no doubt, we're talking about the momentary indiscretion, as Kristen Stewart is calling it, her relationship with her director, Rupert Sanders, from Snow White and the Huntsman.
Sure.
It apparently has blown up her relationship with Robert Pattinson. But now apparently it has blown up the Snow White and the Huntsman franchise as well. Looks like there will be no more Snow White and the Huntsman movies.
Were there going to be more?
Planning on making more. But the studio is saying via sources to the New York Post that they simply cannot see making a film where a married director publicly hooked up with his much younger leading lady. So the plans for additional films in that franchise have been tabled and will likely never be seen.
Bitch got no class.
So we don't have to suffer through any more Snow White movies with Kristen Stewart. So we owe her a debt of thanks.
They really could just recast her, though.
They could reboot the franchise, I guess. Yeah, I guess they could.
You got Charlize, for God's sake.
She was great.
And Lindsay Lohan! Back in the news, apparently Lindsay is desperate for friends. So much so that she crashed Katy Perry's roller skating party.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, Katy Perry is known as one of the nicest gals in Hollywood, but she was not so nice when Lindsay showed up uninvited to her roller skating party. Sources say Lindsay was dressed like a bag lady when she showed up and acted intoxicated, although no one can actually confirm whether she was or not. And she would not leave Katy Perry's side throughout the entire time she was there. Hey, Katy. Hi, Katy.
Oh,
I'm Lindsay.
Oh, my God.
We're both stars. Let's be stars together. You want to be friends? Hey, Katy. Hey, Katy. Lindsay Lohan.
What are you doing next? What are you doing next?
Apparently, security had to step in.
Wow.
And Lindsay,
really?
Lindsay was informed she was not welcome and finally took the clue and split from the party, but it made everyone extremely uncomfortable.
I watched Katy Perry's roller skating party at the Trube last night. What?
Very good.
Oh.
Doesn't Katy Perry just seem like the kind of girl who would have a roller skating party?
She does. Yep.
Absolutely in character.
Nobody bats
for her.
An eye at that. And, no, and yet it's a roller skating party.
It's like 1974 called. They want their party back, Katy. What happened? And while we're talking about things that make people uncomfortable, we're finally getting a first look at the return of Larry Wachowski. Larry was one of the Wachowski brothers who gave us, of course, The Matrix.
Oh, yes.
As well as other films like Speed Racer. Well, Larry has been undergoing hormone therapy in preparation for a sex change operation. Is now known as Lana Wachowski. And the filmmaker can now be seen showing off a soft new set of pipes in a trailer for Cloud Atlas, his latest production starring Tom Hanks and Halle Berry. There's behind-the-scenes footage when you get to see Lana directing for the first time. And I must say, Lana is a not attractive woman. I must say that. But as long as Lana's happy, that's all that matters, I guess.
Most of the time, that's the way it goes, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is usually the case. But look. It's all about Lana. It's not about me. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor and former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, celebrates his 65th birthday today. Actor Jean Reno, one of my favorites, super talented guy, 64 years old. While we're talking about The Matrix, Lawrence Fishburne, the red pill or the blue pill, Larry, 51 years old today. Lisa Kudrow, a Friend's fame, turns 49. Vivica Fox is 48. Terry Crews. Around Psycho Mike would follow Terry Crews around the locker room talking about the size of his unit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are good times.
This is the Expendables actor, right?
Yeah, NFLer.
Who's now in the newsroom.
NFLer turned professional actor.
Yeah.
44 years old. Simon Baker, the Mentalist, is 43. Christopher Nolan, who is enjoying the success of his third Batman film as we speak, is 42 years old. Actor Tom Green is 41. Christine Taylor, lovely and talented actress, also married to Ben Stiller, is 41. Hilary Swank turns 38. Jamie Presley's 35. And Yvonne Strahovski, who I had the great pleasure of spending an extended period of time with down there at the San Diego Comic-Con as we talked about her upcoming role on Dexter this season. She is 30 years old. It couldn't be sweeter. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Here's all you need to know about the Olympics that started this weekend in London. There's a player on the U.S. indoor volleyball team named Destiny Hooker. That's it. That's the only thing you need to take away from this weekend. Her name is Destiny Hooker, and she grew up to be an Olympic athlete. Is that the opposite of what you thought she would grow up to do?
Her family must be very disappointed.
Their last name must be Hooker. I don't know why they would name her Destiny.
Destiny with two E's. Well, they obviously wanted her to, dance.
Friday night, the opening ceremonies began, and they still seem to be going on.
It's a long ceremony.
This is how it began. Cameras going around, along the beach and showing all the beautiful countryside that is England. And this went on for about 10 minutes.
Over these cliffs.
In these fields.
On this stage.
Among isles of wonder.
Now, maybe I'm not the guy.
Centuries of
You're
beautiful
definitely
minds
not the guy.
To appreciate.
Have defined the measure of our planet.
This kind of stuff. It did go on for 5 full minutes, Pete, this part.
And stubbornly propelled our fitful motion of progress.
Here's what I like.
Toward enlightenment.
About the opening ceremonies, is they try to encompass everything.
Towards lasting achievement.
From the beginning of time to now. They try to start when the Earth was made, and then they sit around, and then they figure out how to tell the story from then till now.
Well, if you're a host country, part of the reason you want the Olympics is you want to be able to show off to the rest of the world because you hope that people will see you on TV and go, hey, I want to visit there.
So then they bring out the Tour de France winner, and boy, did he get a round of applause, and I'm playing this just for being.
Bradley Wiggins, a huge figure here in the UK, winning the Tour de France recently, the first British cyclist to do that. His race in the Olympics is tomorrow, so he's out late.
The people love him.
The people love him.
The people do love him, by the way. First ever Brit to win the Tour de France. He's a hero over there.
Now, I figured that I could just ignore Ryan Seacrest. I just figured he would just be there and I could just not pay any attention to him. But he jumps right into the open talking about Bieber. Immediately.
Really?
He's interviewing a couple of the gymnasts.
Now, I know some of the people that are around you were telling me that at one point you were a big Justin Bieber fan. I assume you still are a Justin Bieber fan. I know your sister is.
I'm a big fan of his music.
Well, I heard about that. I called him.
Oh,
I told
great.
Him I was going to talk to you. He said to tell you good luck, and he's sending a package that you'll get. I'm sure a lot of things in there for all you girls to share.
Listen to how excited they are.
Throughout the whole team.
Cool. Thanks.
Thanks.
Hey, yeah, thanks. I'm sure he was expecting more than that.
And the whole point of that was so that Ryan Seacrest could go on TV and bragged about how he called Justin Bieber. That's the only reason he brought that up.
So then they got a bunch of people walking around in top hats, and they have grass on the floor of the thing, and then the grass goes away, and then there's a giant a stream of fiery lava. I don't know what's going on.
All of the energies unleashed by the Industrial Revolution are now trained on the center of the stage and the forging of a massive ring.
And here's one of the magic moments, especially for the people, actually uniquely for the people in the stadium tonight, because not only are you watching this ring being forged by these workers, but here in the stadium you can smell it. They have found a way to pump that smoke, that sulfur smell, that factory smell out to the 65,000 plus people in attendance.
And here's my question. Isn't that a horrible smell?
Yes. I mean, why would you want that?
Do you want that? That's a terrible smell.
That sulfur smell?
And then some dude comes out and he's got all kinds of grammar problems.
Be not afeard. Be not afeard.
It's afraid, a-hole. Get to it. It's afraid. It's not a fear.
Actor Kenneth Branagh, dressed up like Abe Lincoln for some reason, reading Shakespeare.
And then some dude in a boat.
It is the torch making its way up the Thames toward the stadium.
You recognize that guy?
I recognize that guy.
By the way, Meredith and what's his name? Boy, did they Matt. Drive Matt. They drove me crazy. They and Bob Costas.
Oh, well, I thought Bob was great.
Bob
I love
was
Bob.
Terrible.
I love Bob.
Don't
but I will,
get into that right now.
I will tell you, though, that there were a lot of people online who hated the coverage with Matt and Meredith. And, I mean, shut up, Matt, and shut up, Meredith.
And shut up, Bob.
There were some shut up Bobs, too. A lot of people were not a fan of how many details they tried to share with us during the broadcast.
Yeah. And then the Queen. Oh, the wacky Queen made a huge entrance. Oh, the wacky Queen. It was so great.
That was probably the highlight, I would imagine. That's the thing most people are talking about.
Sure, 007 goes in, it's Daniel Craig, and he says, hello, Queen, and she can't force herself to smile no matter what happens because she's constipated. She's been constipated for 10 years, and she can't possibly be bothered to smile. And there's a 15-minute montage of her stupid dogs, and then she walks out.
Are you kidding me?
And then they get in a helicopter, and then she jumps out of the helicopter.
What?
What? Is that for real?
Now, that's a good sport.
No, you know why it isn't? Because she's not doing it.
Can you imagine asking the Queen, you know, we have a little job for you, jump out of a heli?
Yeah, we have a wacky idea, Your Majesty. Queen Elizabeth II making perhaps the most memorable entrance to an opening ceremony ever.
Except for that Queen Elizabeth didn't do that at all. That didn't happen.
You're saying it's a stunt person?
It's just stupid.
It's a dude, by the way, too, in the Queen's outfit. Look,
it's no, just stupid.
It wasn't dude, stupid. It was a clever idea to play off the image of the
right.
Queen being
but
boring.
But then they tried to act like she was so great and wow, look at
the
that.
Fact,
she's
I think what they were saying is it's surprising because she's not known publicly for having a huge sense of humor.
Really,
it's
I couldn't tell that by looking at the constant frown on her face.
Privately, she's very funny, but publicly,
sure.
She doesn't show that very
right.
often. And I think for a lot of people, it was a surprise that she signed off on that idea of appearing with an actor, Daniel Craig, and then pretending to jump out of a helicopter. I think a lot of people gave her credit for that.
So just that she signed off on it, that's what she gets credit for?
Yes, just that she was willing to play basically a part in a practical joke on television, yes.
Wow. Boy, did I hate her. I've never hated the Queen more in my entire life.
It is unnatural.
It's nothing she could do that would make you not hate
she
her.
She could have smiled. There were hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars and hundreds of man hours. You can't smile once. Even when you open the ceremony, you have to sit there and look like you're constipated. Freaking smile, you bitch.
She's not a big
she
shower of emotion.
She can't smile. She can't force a tiny little smile. That would have killed her.
She's not a trained puppy or anything
no,
that you could just yell at until
does,
she does what you want her to
she's
do.
She's somebody who does PR for a living. That's her job, PR. England is great. You know how? I'm going to let you know that. I'm going to smile just a little bit and not look like I'm miserable. I want to get the hell out. And then they have their beer mug there as well, apparently.
Paul McCartney.
Listen to his first line.
Don't make it bad.
Their beer mug. Where their beer mug? Turn on his microphone.
Dare you?
Just saying. And then they went for the Parade of Nations. And don't get me started. Holy God, that's still going on.
What about the 20-minute tribute to national health care?
How
what
much
about
time
that?
Do I have? I know they did spend 20
minutes. Dancing nurses and sick kids.
Oh, my God. And the story, and the digital story of Rupert and Ginger.
What about the flying Mary Poppins fighting the 100-foot Voldemort? What
you
about that?
Have to bring in clips next time. I can't
it. It was an acid trip, wasn't it?
I can't do it. I can't do it. I wanted to kill everybody.
Are you saying you didn't like it?
I did not enjoy that open.
Really? Okay.
The Queen, especially, drives me crazy.
Well, you've got some sort of deep-seated problem that I don't understand.
She could, honestly, Bean, just tell me, she could have smiled.
She could have smiled, but that's not how she is. She's not, she's not a demonstrative person.
Right, but this is, hey, world, welcome to the Olympics.
Right.
Tiny smile there would have killed her.
How much of a difference would that have made in your enjoyment of the 4.5-hour opening ceremony if she had cracked a smile?
I think at least it wouldn't have angered me so much. She sat there like she was pooping her pants. That was the look on her face. She was pooping her royal pants. And then when she opened the Olympics, she said,
actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
And I didn't understand that.
From Iceland, the band is called Of Monsters and Men. That is Little Talks here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So how'd you find out about our new favorite singer, Kevin?
On Twitter. A guy tweeted me and said, did you see the Dallas Galaxy game? And I said, yeah. And he said, did you see the national anthem? I said, no, I fast-forwarded through it to get to the game. He said, you need to go back and watch it. And then he sent me the link. And this little 11-year-old girl just butchers.
Look, there's been a long – it's a very difficult song to sing. Even professionals have trouble with singing the national anthem, and you got the delay from the stadium, and there's a lot of problems with the song anyway. But every once in a while, you'll get just one of the all-time worst – I mean, you know, this is up there with the Roseanne version at the Padres game. This is up with the Carl Lewis version. This is a girl who goes, I'm in the spotlight. I'm going to make this song last as long as it is possible for it to last. I'm going to ring every last second out of the national anthem.
What if it doesn't sound good? I don't care.
And please welcome 11-year-old singer-songwriter from Coppell, Texas, Harper Gruzins, in the performance of our national anthem.
She's 11, too. What guts.
Okay, right there. Right there you go, I'm not going to survive this. Right? And you don't want to make fun of her because she's 11. But you have to.
And it's the national anthem, so you want to.
Right.
You see.
Now, don't you think there's somebody in that stadium right now going, oh, crap.
Yes.
Like, that's their job is to book the national anthem singer, and that's their last day at work?
What so proudly we
And you know how they the camera pans to different people in the crowd,
oh,
and
no.
Some of the players. People are trying to not laugh.
Oh.
And you can tell they're laughing, but they're trying their best with their...
And right now, before this part, I'm so afraid.
Yeah.
Whose broad stripes.
We still have a half hour before the hard part.
Right.
She sounds like she's in pain.
It does sound like she's in pain, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
get into it.
For the ramparts we watch.
She's so gonna be on American Idol in the auditions in about 2 years.
So gallantly.
All right. Now here comes the difficult part where she has to sing high. People are cheering because they're like, it's got to be almost over.
Oh, God, that hurts.
Have you heard enough? Or?
No.
All right.
That our flag was still there.
Remember the over-under for the national anthem at the Super Bowl was a minute 47 or a minute 48 or something like that? We're at 202.
Oh, say does that star spangle
11 years old, singing it before a soccer game.
Well, she was 11 when it started.
Yeah.
Maybe 14 by now.
Probably, I don't know, 22,000 people just trying to not laugh.
Would anyone look her in the eye when she walked off?
No.
Just look away and pretend it didn't happen.
I kept showing the athletes, and they were just trying so hard to not laugh because you're not supposed to.
I would be trying hard not to cry. Forget laugh.
I'd be laughing so hard I'd be crying. Listen, everybody. Woo! She's done!
Way to set the scene tonight. Biggest game of the season.
On her website, by the way, Harper's captivating performances, soulful voice, and ability to write good music will eventually land her into the next in line for superstardom, is what it says.
Oh,
audiences sometimes forget she's only a child.
Zero for style. Zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
Oh, all right. That's unbelievable.
We have tickets for the world premiere of Campaign. This is Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis.
Haley's not in it, is she?
No, I don't believe
okay,
so.
Okay, good.
If you know Will Ferrell movies, it will help as we are going to do the Wheel of Ferrell when we get back. Call now 1-800-520-1067.
Who's funnier than Will Ferrell? Come on. Maybe just Zach Galifianakis. You put them both in the same movie together, and it is a can't miss. It is called The Campaign, and it is going to be a world premiere with the stars this Thursday night. The movie is coming out on Friday, August 10th, but you get to see it this Thursday night, August the 2nd. If you call right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a new game we like to call Wheel of Ferrell.
Wheel of Ferrell!
Live from the K-Rock Studios, it's the Wheel of Ferrell. And here are your hosts, Kevin and Bean. Oh, yeah!
All right, so as I understand it, you spin the wheel, and then it tells you what movie to play a clip from,
That's
and then
correct.
The caller just has to identify the Will Ferrell film. If you know your Will Ferrell movies, this will be pretty easy, right?
That's correct. Let's begin
right,
with
let's spin the wheel.
Cynthia. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi.
Welcome to the Wheel of Ferrell. Do you know Will Ferrell movies well?
I do.
All right. Here's your movie. You ready?
Okay.
Tell us what this is.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you do or say can be used. What's the next part?
Mm-hmm. All right. What movie is that?
Oh, gosh. This is the one with Mark Wahlberg.
That's right. Yes. And the name of it is?
What's that called?
Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I can't...
Oh,
sorry.
The other guys.
The other guys. That's
yes.
right. Okay, sorry.
Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, that is right. Yeah. Thanks for playing.
Let's go to Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Very good. Thank you. You ready for your movie clip?
Yep.
It's a Will Ferrell movie. Here you go.
What's a Christmas gram? I want one.
What movie is that?
Oh, God. No. I watched that movie like a week ago with my kids.
Oh, really? What's it called?
Does it have a name?
It does. It was funny, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I think the word Christmas should be enough of a hint for you if you're a Will Ferrell fan. Come on, Tom.
Yeah, it's Elf.
Elf. Sorry, dude. Is what we're looking for, Elf. Sorry. All right. 0 for 2. Not great so far.
Let's go to Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
You ready for the wheel?
Yes.
All right. Here is your movie.
We're going streaking! Yes! Sorry, we're going streaking! Come on! Snoop! Snoop-a-loop!
Let's
yeah!
Right.
There we go.
Nicely done. You're going to be at the world premiere. Hold on.
Say hi to Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis for it. All right, up next is going to be Rachel, I think. Rachel's on line 4. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, hello.
I didn't feel like that was a very good spin. There we go. How have you been doing so far, Rachel?
Doing okay. How are you?
Okay. I don't mean just in general.
I think you meant in guessing the Will Ferrell movie.
But I'm fine. Thank you. Okay.
Hi. I'm sorry. I'm totally in traffic.
So no worries. No worries. Here's your movie. Good luck.
Le estoy hablando, Onza. Quiero a la muchacha. Déjala ir. Suelta a la mujer. Y te dejo vivir.
La casa de mi padre.
Nice.
Good job.
Nicely done. Hold on.
Thank
You're going
you.
To the world premiere. Thank you. Let's move along to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. You ready for the Wheel of Ferrell?
Yeah, let's go.
Here's your movie. Good luck.
What is it, Chaka? What did you say?
Chorizo tacos.
Chorizo tacos. Are you saying chorizo tacos?
Don't play around because I am super hungry.
Terrible movie that was.
It was a bad movie, but I loved it. All right.
Well, it was great in it. What was it called?
Oh, that's that soccer one.
Well, no.
Nope.
Not even on the right track. No, I'm sorry. That was Land of the Lost. Thank you, though. Sorry about that.
All right, I think we have time for maybe a couple more.
John, hi.
Yeah, hi.
All right, you ready for your movie?
I am.
Here you go.
How do you intend to match up to the Squire's strong inside game?
It's a great question. Tomorrow, after the game, I, Jackie Moon, will wrestle a bear.
All right, what movie is that?
Semi-Pro.
Semi-Pro is correct. Nicely done. Woo-hoo. You got your tickets. Congratulations. We have time for one more?
One more.
All right, let's squeeze one more in. Brandon, hi. You ready for your movie?
I'm ready.
Here you go.
Where are you going? Going upstairs. Because I'm going to put my nut on your drum set.
Step Brothers.
Step Brothers is correct. Thank you. And congratulations. You are going to the world premiere.
All right. Thanks.
Nicely done. Thanks for playing. Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:53.
Do we have Ralph Garman? Is it Showbiz Beat time?
He's on the way in, yes.
Okay.
You're just going to wait?
Hey, Ralph.
I know I've been gone for a while, but... I'm just trying to figure out the wheel of Ferrell. This game, you just play random clips for people,
and then they have to identify.
But there's
a
wheel that you spin,
right,
that they don't see,
right,
and you don't say what comes up on the wheel.
Well, if we said because that's the title, that's the name of the movie.
Right. So instead of just playing clips and having them guess, you had to spin a wheel first,
correct,
for yourself to play those clips.
Right.
It seemed like a good extra element, don't you think?
It was
some nice sound effects.
Not so much.
It was good production value.
Hey, don't come back and question the magic. No, I just thought maybe something had changed since I was gone. And maybe you decided
nothing has changed.
To make confusing things even stranger by adding elements that don't really make any sense.
No, that's always been our strength.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
We've always
been
right now, though, it's time for the Wheel O Showbiz Beat. Let's spin the wheel and see what Ralph's going to do.
Comes up, and then I will just talk a story. We can act as if it came up on the wheel. You know what the giveaway was? When the wheel was still spinning when you played the first clip? That's when I assumed you really weren't playing by your own rules.
How dare you?
That's when I knew. All right,
you had the title and then had to make the game match the title. That's what happened, Ralph.
I see. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Dark Knight Rises. Number one again this weekend. $64.1 million made it number one. Some people bitching and moaning. It was down 60% from last week, but $64 million. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
When you go that high the first week, you can be down 60%, and you're still at $64 million. Yeah, right.
And what about the people, Ralph? We talked about this briefly last week, that are still afraid to go to the Batman movie because of what happened in Aurora.
Yeah.
They think that may actually have an impact on the box office this weekend.
I know. Look, it was a horrible, horrific, terrifying event, but I doubt it's going to become a trend because, luckily, there aren't that many evil lunatics in the world, and I don't think we're going to see a problem with that, but look.
That's bizarre.
$64 million.
Yeah.
Made it number one, and nothing else came close this weekend. Ice Age 4, Continental Drift, was second at the box office with $13.3 million. Another $13 million maker was The Watch, the new comedy with Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn, came in at number three. Step Up Revolution debuted at $11.8 million, made it number four. Ted was fifth with $7.4 million. Then The Amazing Spider-Man, Brave, Magic Mike, Savages, and Moonrise Kingdom rounding out the rest of the top ten at the box office this weekend. Katie Holmes may be already back on the dating scene. TMZ.com has the story, but apparently she was seen having dinner with an unknown gentleman last Friday night. Katie, of course, is newly single from her husband, Tom Cruise, since they've separated and divorced. She was seen kissing the cheek of this gentleman before she hailed a cab and told reporters they had a great night. So no word on who this gentleman is, but it could be just a friend, or else maybe Katie is, I don't know, found a new man that doesn't want to tire to a volcano and drop an H-bomb.
Or
get on a spaceship. How does Madonna keep looking so good? Well, I'm sure there's diet and exercise, but...
Could I suggest she doesn't?
Well, how does she stay in such great shape, then? You got to admit she's in great shape, regardless of what you think of how she appears. One extra technique that she does not talk about may be her oxygen machine.
A Michael Jackson thing?
Yeah, more or less. One of her assistants was seen pulling her intracuticles oxygen machine out of the Ritz Hotel in Paris, France. The device is apparently an anti-aging device, which promises to get the best vitamins deep into the skin by forcing oxygen into a pressurized container
with a special mist inside of it that forces it into your skin.
Really?
I'm going to leave you all the dirty jokes just to your own mind. But they say it has all the effects of Botox without any of the injections.
So you spray it on the outside of your face?
Yes.
Huh.
The procedure is called the red carpet facial. Because it doesn't leave your face red or angry.
Right.
Just your accountant when they read how much you've paid for the intracuticles oxygen machine. Apparently, Gwyneth Paltrow, Kate Moss, Victoria Beckham, they all use it. They're all getting the red carpet facial. So
a lot of facials going around.
Good for them. Of course, if you saw the opening of the Olympics, you saw Daniel Craig as James Bond.
Oh, that wacky queen.
Stop by and pick up Her Majesty the Queen, get in a helicopter and jump into the Olympic Stadium.
Slapstick genius, that woman.
Wow, man. You got a lot of nonsensical hate for the queen.
It is weird, isn't it?
It's very strange.
Look, she's an 86-year-old woman who showed a good sense of humor by playing
she
along with a wacky
sense of humor. She's supposed to represent, she's supposed to say, hey, we're England. World, come visit us.
Is that what she's supposed to say?
Yeah, and she looks like she needed to just go take a poop. Why don't you do that before the whole world is watching you?
This woman has very little influence on your life in any possible way. I can't understand why you're so angry at her.
I couldn't hate her more.
Bond showed up, picked up Her Majesty. They got on the helicopter and then parachuted into the...
That was clever, right? It was very clever thing to
clever,
do.
Clever, fun little vignette that they filmed for the opening of the Oscar.
What everyone's going to be talking about.
Right on the heels of that, they've announced the new James Bond cologne.
Cologne
that will be available this fall. British retailer Harrods will be able to sell it. Will sell it exclusively till then, but in November you'll be able to pick it up almost anywhere. The Bond fragrance will smell like the '60s. They say.
Uh-oh. Is that good?
I guess it's patchouli and marijuana and body odor.
Sounds about right.
That's what I think of when I think of the '60s. The '60s inspired scent, they're calling it.
And mud. You just add that all with mud.
If you're going to smell like Bond, it should be just like cigarettes, vodka, and panties.
Women. Yeah.
I think that should be pretty much what it should smell like. And good news for those of us who are Modern Family fans, the contract dispute between the cast of Modern Family and Fox, the company that produces that TV series for ABC, it's all over. They have agreed to six new salary deals for six of the cast members, so we're going to get our Modern Families. They go back to work today.
Excellent.
That's one of the most solidly funny shows every week.
Absolutely. And Sofia Vergara, Ed O'Neill, Julie Bowen, Ty Burrell, Eric Stone Street, and Jesse Tyler Ferguson thought they were worth more than they were getting. And apparently, Fox has agreed. There's new terms of the contract. Apparently, they are going to get around $150,000 an episode. Some back-end participation once syndication kicks in. So filming for the fourth season begins today. We get that back. So that's good news for fans who like TV shows that are funny. Today's celebrity birthdays, Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck fame, soon to be seen on Dexter this fall. She is 30 years old today. Jamie Presley's 35. Hilary Swank turns 38.
Christine, Bell or no Bell on Miss Hilary Swank, you guys?
I would be in a Nobel Peace Prize on that one.
I'd say no Bell.
Me.
Okay.
Christine Taylor. The lovely and talented wife of Ben Stiller. She is 41. Tom Green, also 41. Christopher Nolan, director of the Batman franchise, of course, 42 years old. Simon Baker's 43. Terry Crews, former NFL player, now actor, 44 years old. Vivica Fox turns 48. Lisa Kudrow's 49. Lawrence Fishburne of the Matrix franchise and other feature films turns 51. Jean Reno turns 64. And governor and actor Arnold Schwarzenegger turned 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and walk the showbiz beat.
Take it if you don't.
Kevin and Bean. New Kevin and Bean theme by the Lonely Island. They're going to play it every day from now on. Contractually bound to play it every day. And they will get sued if they don't.
That's not very nice, I don't think.
We had Akiva and Yorma, two-thirds of the Lonely Island, in studio with us on Friday, and they brought us the brand-new theme song, which I started to grow on me. I liked it very much. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Monday. We'll talk U.S. Open of Surf coming up with surfer Carissa Moore later this hour. Petros Papadakis is going to be in studio, and, of course, we'll catch up with TMZ.com. First, though, we didn't have much time to talk about a great video that we posted last week in the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Kevin, you enjoyed this one as well, I think.
Well, the wife is sleeping, kids in the back, and the husband thinks it's going to be funny to play a prank on her.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, actually. They're towing a truck, a giant 18-wheeler truck, and it's facing backwards. So it sort of looks like you're going head first toward a giant truck.
So the family that's in the car is behind the truck that's right. being towed. So he takes advantage of the wife being asleep and thinks, hey, I'm going to wake her up as I speed up toward this truck. And it's going to look like we're 1 second away from a head-on collision. That's going to be
so there's a truck getting towed, and it looks like it's coming at us, and my wife's asleep. So we're going to see if we can scare her.
Babe, wake up. There's a truck.
I'm sorry. It was funny. It was getting towed.
Didn't you hear her hit the camera twice? She does not. She's not happy.
She's not talking to him for like a month now.
I'm sorry. No, it was funny. Sure. I'm sorry it was funny. Works for guys. That does not work for girls for the most part.
We are going to take your telephone calls on pranks that you played on someone that did not go over as well as you might have hoped. You thought it was hilarious. They were really, really ticked off. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. And let me ask you this, Lisa.
Yes.
You're a girl, right?
Turns out I am.
Okay. Are you pissed if this happens? Even if you're momentarily terrified, a minute later you realize he's just clowning and you're not in any real danger. Are you still pissed?
Yes. Oh,
why?
My God.
Tell
you
me
want me into that kind of fear? That's the worst. I mean, that would be the worst feeling.
But it's funny to watch somebody else do.
Maybe it's funny for you, but you're not getting any. I know that. That's funny to me.
But isn't there a point at which you go, all right,
no,
I understand
sheer
that
terror is not
really?
Funny.
It's funny later.
And I got my kids in the back.
But it's
isn't
funny,
it funny
no,
later,
it's
though?
Funny.
Isn't it funny later?
Yes, it
no.
is funny later.
Look,
you're high.
To you, not to me.
Even a week later, even a month later,
no.
it's not funny to laugh about how scared you were when you thought it was a head-on collision hit coming?
No, I don't ever want to feel that terror until I'm actually going to die.
All right, let me ask you this, Kevin.
Isn't it a positive, though, because you thought you were going to die, but you didn't?
That's a great way to look
so
at it.
Hard.
Like you have a second lease on life.
This is not funny.
Your husband just gave you a second life.
That's right.
I mean, why aren't you grateful? What are you, uptight?
I could have had a heart attack. And you mentioned, Kevin, I could have grabbed the wheel. You don't know.
Well,
I mean, this could
you.
Have gone really badly.
Yeah, I would have blocked you.
Imagine really? How good dinner is going to taste tonight when you realize you could have died, but you didn't, thanks to your
right.
husband.
How good is your dinner going to be at the other table?
You have a new lease on life, man.
Without
you
your
are,
family.
Come on, Lisa.
No.
So we're going to take your calls. You have someone in your life who's a stick in the mud like Lisa. You tried to play a prank that was hilarious, and they did not see the vision of your comedy. 1-800-520-1067. And let me ask the monkey here.
Yeah.
Because you love playing pranks.
Yes, I do.
People. Would you have played this prank on your wife?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because
if you were in that situation, if you're driving down the road and you realize she's asleep and I have this truck that looks like it's going to run right into us, this is going to be hilarious. You would have done it.
Yes, because I know her well enough that – let me take that back. Because I think later she would find it funny, definitely.
Okay.
So I would have gone for it. I mean,
that's why
terror.
She's married to you.
You have to. Do you remember when we had the Christmas party being – oh, you weren't there. We had the Christmas party with the general manager giving the speech. And I paid one of the dudes $50 to walk up and grab him in the nuts while he was giving the speech to the troops. And he did it. And I was on the floor laughing because I didn't think there was any way he would possibly do it. And the general manager was not thrilled with that.
See, I think that's funny.
See, of course you do because you're not the guy
exactly.
that it happens to. That's the point.
See, it's always funny when it happens to someone else, Lisa. That's
right.
What's wrong with you. All right, you got to take one for the team every once in a while. You got to be the one that it happens to. Let's go to Jeremy. We got some great calls coming in already. 1-800-520-1067. Jeremy joins us on line 4. Again, the topic here, Jeremy, is you thought it was a hilarious practical joke. You played a prank. The prankee, not so much in agreement with you. What happened?
At the time.
Exactly. I thought this was going to be hilarious. I thought about it for years. I actually even told her I would do it someday. She said, "Don't ever do it." I was at an Angel game. Kiss cam came up.
Kiss cam.
And instead of leaning over and kissing her nicely like I should, I stood up and put my butt in her face while she leaned in.
Wait, was she leaning in to kiss?
She was leaning in to kiss. And
pants or no pants?
People laughed at her.
Pants or no pants?
Oh, I kept the pants on.
Kept the pants on.
Fart or no fart?
It was an incredibly stupid thing to do.
It was like instinctive, you know. I thought about it for so long.
Jeremy, it was not stupid to do. That was a genius move.
Now, it was awesome. Well, I bet there were thousands of people in that stadium who gave you a high five. I bet that was one of the funniest things they've ever seen on the Kiss Camp.
The guys around me thought it was hilarious.
All right, later.
All the women were mad.
Later, did your wife find it funny?
No, because for like 2-3 days. We kept getting calls and, hey, did I see you at the game?
That's
funny.
People
who work with or emailing her.
Right, but a year later.
She's still pissed off.
Still pissed. Will she ever go to an Angels game with you again?
Thankfully, yeah. We've been back to games. I'm just waiting to redeem myself if the Kiss Cam comes back on, hopefully.
We got to do the other side.
What are you going to do? You're going to do the exact same thing, aren't you, Jeremy?
No, you got to turn around and do the other side.
That'll be the end of the marriage.
Thank you for the call. All right. Outstanding. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Junkie. Dear Kevin and Bean, we had just seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in the movie theater. When we got home, I dressed up in a Halloween mask, got my chainsaw out, and called my wife to the garage. When she came in, I turned it on. She threw her cereal in the air, ran into the living room, curled up into a ball, and started weeping. She still brings it up, and everyone still gets mad at me. Love you guys, says Jose from El Segundo. So that's the kind of prank we're talking about, where you thought it was hilarious. It's like, what could go wrong with dressing up like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Your wife, not so much.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Victor. Victor's on line 3. We started talking about this because of a prank video that we put up on the Internet Roundup the other day that involved a guy waking up his wife and making her think they were getting ready to get into a head-on collision. Victor, yours also happened out on the road. What went wrong, man?
Hi, Kevin. I mean, listen, man.
Hello.
And I did the same thing to my 16-year-old and brother, but it really didn't end it well. I didn't notice he didn't have his seatbelt on.
Right.
The moment we scared him, he saw the truck. He opened up in the door and pretty much wanted to and jump out.
Oh my God!
Go, and we were going about 70, 75. Half of his body was literally out of the car. Me and my cousin grabbed him. Okay, if it wasn't for us and grabbing him, he would have just out.
He would have died.
He would have died. Yeah.
So he thought you guys were going to be in a head-on collision because you pranked him. And then he was going to jump out of the car. And it's only by the grace of God and good luck that you guys were able to hang on to him so he didn't jump out.
Yeah, and the worst part is that there was a highway patrol a few cars back. He saw the whole thing. He pulled me over, gave me a ticket for child endangerment and for him not wearing a seatbelt.
Dude. Can you imagine? Had that guy died all your life, they would have been going, you thought that was funny, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you thought that was funny.
I never did that again.
Really?
No.
Check the seatbelt. I think that's the important part.
That's amazing. Well, I make sure everybody puts on a seatbelt in my car because...
Sure, because of that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. That's what Lisa was talking about is you don't know what the other person is going to do. Lisa, you mentioned what if you grabbed the wheel, but what if you jumped out of the car?
I never thought of that.
Oh, my
God.
Can you
imagine? Let's go to David, line 5, 1-800-520-1067. Pranks gone wrong. Hi, David. Thanks for hanging on. Thanks for calling, too. What's happening?
Good morning, fellas.
Hi.
Lisa May.
Hello.
6-month-old daughter, Carolyn, the wife and I are going out for a nature hike. And I was pushing the baby jogger going down a hill. The wife was about 10 steps in front of me. And I picked Carolyn up, and I proceeded to throw the stroller down the hill and pretended that I tripped.
You threw the stroller down the hill and pretended you tripped?
Oh, my God. Are you insane?
You're stupid.
Right by...
You are dumb.
Five, and the look of terror on her face, and... oh, my gosh, it was hysterical.
Now, was it really hysterical, though, David, in retrospect? Was it really funny to see your wife in so much anguish?
Yes.
Now,
do these people not love their wives?
Later, later did she find it funny?
It was a great relationship. She understood.
Okay.
I don't even believe him.
All right.
I think she left him that day and just basking in the pain. All right, one more. How about Stephen, line 2? Stephen, thanks for calling the Kevin DeBeat Show. What happened?
What did you guys?
What did
it do?
All right, so I got one of those fake scratchers from a joke shop,
mm-hmm.
and I brought it into work, and I work with my mom at a company, and I gave her the scratcher, and she scratched it out, and I took off running. She scratches it out, and she thinks she wins $500, and she starts running across the company like,
I won $500,000. Oh, there you go. $500,000.
$500,000 is very different than $500. So she thinks she won $500,000.
She thought she won, and she's running around telling everyone that she won $500,000. And she goes across the street to the 7-Eleven to claim it. And they're like, this isn't one of our scratches. This isn't even real. It says joke on the back. Oh, man. She didn't talk to me for, like, weeks. She finally, like, she asked me to borrow money.
Nice.
But she did not talk to me for, like, weeks. I didn't get lunch or anything because she used to make me lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, man. She hated me. And she was so pissed because at the time she kind of needed money, too.
Oh, and you're an evil, bastard.
Why did you do this to your own mother? I can see doing it to your friend. I can see doing it to your wife. I can't see doing it to your mother.
Oh, man. I even told Kevin about it at some event, and he told me that I was an a-hole.
Well, I got to agree with Kevin on this one, but I'm glad you called.
I'm sorry. I mean, how often? I mean, oh, man, nobody thinks that's funny?
K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012 is Jack White himself at the Voodoo Experience in New Orleans. You can qualify all this week, including this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, by winning tickets to see Mr. White at the Shrine in August. And the grand prize drawing is Friday morning. All the details at krock.com. Kevin, how come you don't compete anymore? You get tired of winning too many U.S. Open and Surfing championships?
You know what? It's time to let somebody else have a shot.
Really? You know what I mean? Step aside, let some of the younger people in there get involved in the sport. The Nike U.S. Open of Surfing is happening. It started this week, and it's happening all week long and wrapping up this weekend. We are very excited to welcome Miss Carissa Moore to the show. She is the 2011 Women's World Champion and is one of the favorites to take it this week, too. Hey, how are you, Carissa? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We can't imagine. You know, we talked to a lot of cool people doing this job over the years, but I can't imagine being a surfer for a living. I can't even imagine what that life is like. It must be so much fun.
Oh, so much fun. I'm so blessed and so lucky that I get to travel the world and surf and compete and do something I love. So, you know, I can't complain.
Now, I've been to the U.S. Open to surf many times, and it's a great time down there. And HB is a great city, and the people down there party, and everybody's having fun. But it must sort of be a bit of a step down from Hawaii. I mean, to come from Hawaii to the waves of Huntington Beach, is that a difficult transition?
Well, you know, it's amazing to come here to Huntington and compete every year. It's huge. It's massive, and it's such an arena and a great platform for us to perform in front of so many people. And, you know, our tour is a combination of a lot of different waves. So, I mean, it's exciting to come here and surf something a little different and compete in front of, you know, thousands of people. It's a really exciting weekend, and Nike and Hurley and everyone's done a really good job with the events this year.
In layman's terms, though, I'm a non-surfer, Carissa. How do you coax something out of those waves when they're smaller than what you would like to see? How do you get something going when you don't have that much surf under you?
Well, I think the main thing with, you know, surfing small waves is just to, you know, stay really fit and light and fast. And that's, like, the key thing to surfing small waves, I think, is just being really light and quick on your feet. And, you know, all the surfers these days, they're training really hard and they have coaches. So that's just, you know, that's how you can nail it down really well.
Sure. And I understand that especially this event, you know, being one of the biggest events on the tour, I mean, almost everybody at the top of the sport is participating this week, right? I mean, you are there with all of the best that you can possibly surf against.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. The U.S. Open is actually the last event for the girls on the CT, and so it's a really big event for us. It's the last event for our season, and for the guys, it's one of the main QS Prime events. And so even some of the guys I saw, Mick and Taj, is only a few doors down from me at the hotel. And there's going to be a lot of big names and exciting surfing going on this week.
Tell me about, we're talking about the Nike U.S. Open of Surf. Tell me about Huntington Beach this time of year and the hotels and the people and the parties and the just craziness.
Oh, it's crazy. I always look forward to this week of chaos, complete chaos, just because there's so many people. And I love people watching. You see, you know, girls in bikinis and crazy, you know, guys and people dancing. And, you know, it's always a scene. And then, you know, you have BMX and skateboarding going on and surfing. And I'm staying at the Shore Break, which is right across the street from the pier, which is great and so close. And then there's the Hyatt and the Hilton, just a, you know, few blocks down from that. And then Main Street has a lot of great restaurants. And, you know, Huntington Beach definitely has it going on down Main Street.
And what's your room number?
never tell our listeners what hotel you're in. What's wrong with you, Carissa? This is the voice of Carissa Moore here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can meet her autograph signing at the Nike Brand Experience, and that's going to be Thursday from noon till 1. Is that right? Noon to 1? Is that when your thing is?
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
You're going to be there along with Lakey Peterson and Coco, and Lauren is going to be there, and you can do the autographs. And then there's going to be surfing tomorrow during the morning, and then Wednesday, and then Thursday, and then the quarterfinals Friday, semifinals Saturday, and the finals on Sunday. What do you win if you win the whole thing? What's the prize?
I believe you get I was really lucky. I won this event 2 years ago, and you get this super cool trophy. It's actually a piece of the pier. And then you get a really nice check too. So it's a cherry on top. It's but just to win at Huntington is something that is just a prize in itself.
Is it impossible to repeat? Is it one of those things where it's just considered too hard?
Oh no, it definitely can be done. Actually, Brett Simpson on the guy side won it 2 times in a row. So it's definitely it can happen.
All right, let me ask you one more thing, Carissa, kind of off topic a little bit, and that is because the Olympics are going on right now, what do you guys all say about how you're ever going to get surfing in the Olympics? It seems crazy to me that they don't have that as part of the Summer Games.
You know what's really, really exciting is when I was in Rio for the Billabong Pro this year, I was at the press conference and someone asked me, Carissa, so what do you think about surfing being a part of the Olympics in 2016 in Rio? And I was like, I didn't hear anything about it before then, but I guess they really want to try to bring surfing in into the Olympics in 2016, so that could be really exciting. We'll see what happens.
They could drop ping pong and a bunch of
and skeet shooting. They could maybe drop skeet shooting and make some room for surfing.
And trampolines, they could drop those.
I mean, I guess the thing about surfing, and I was thinking about this weekend as I was watching the events, is if they look, the Olympics are in London. Where would you surf in London? I mean, I don't think you could. You'd have to have some sort of fake indoor place if you were going to surf there. You can't surf in London, right?
Exactly. And I think that's the hardest part in why surfing hasn't become an Olympic sport yet, is because there's no, controlled environment and where there's consistent waves, and you're dealing with Mother Nature, so you have to be near the coast for surfing,
Right.
And so if surfing was to become an Olympic sport during Rio, it might maybe just be a specialty event for 1 year or something. I'm not sure. This is rumors that I heard. But
that'd be cool.
That's
we'll
a great idea. They should totally do it in Rio, though. That would be so much fun since
that'd
it's going to
really
be there
cool.
Anyway. All right, you can check out all the information on the Nike U.S. Open of Surfing, of course, at usopenofsurfing.com and meet Carissa this week and watch her surf. And I hope you have a great time out there. I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you. Good luck to you. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Petros Papadakis will be here coming up after the top of the hour on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk all things Olympics. Hi, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
We missed you, man.
Just in there having a little disagreement with our boy, P-Square over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you allowed to say anything?
We were throwing down a little bit.
Over what?
Well, over Emily and Jeff, the Bachelorette finale.
No,
we're just having a little disagreement regarding the Bachelorette. That's
keep
all.
That in that room.
I'm just saying.
You could email each other on that one.
I think they're a good team. I think I know Jeff only has one F in his name, but I still think that he and Emily make a lovely couple.
That's not a deal breaker for you, one F?
Well, he's a Mormon. He's got a lot of issues. I'm just saying. She seems happy. I like Emily.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Find anything over there? You got anything over there? I'm giving you an
exciting
you a
story.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go, Kevin.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday.
It's a Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Dark Knight Rises continues to be number one with $64.1 million. So far, its worldwide total is nearly $540 million in box office.
Pretty strong.
Pretty strong indeed. Ice Age 4 Continental Drift made $13.3 million. That was good enough to make it number two for the weekend. The Watch. New comedy with Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn made $13 million, made it number three. Step Up Revolution, or Step Up Revolting, as I like to call it, $11.8 million. Oh, no one would go to see it with me.
It's so sad.
Dave loves the Step Up films. Being an alum of Step Up himself,
sure,
I guess he's required to go.
Kevin, you did
kind of lead Dave on all week that you were very serious about maybe going with him on
You Friday. Step up tease, you.
I like those movies as well because, as you know, I used to be in the Jabberwockies.
Right,
and,
I remember.
Co-founder.
Yeah. And, but all week long, Dave was walking around talking about he couldn't wait to go on Friday. And you're like, yeah, I might do right. that. Yeah, I might go there.
And I sort of wanted to, but then there comes that moment where you go, okay, now am I really going to get in a car with Dave and drive to a theater and watch Step Up?
No.
Or... You know, now when it comes down to it, hopefully I'll catch it this weekend. Have a good time, Dave.
Poor Dave.
Went by himself.
You used to be Shabadoo, didn't you? Wasn't that your professional name when you were dancing?
That was me. I'm glad you remember that. Thank you.
Ted was fifth, the box office. The Amazing Spider-Man was sixth. Brave, Magic Mike, Savages, and Moonrise Kingdom are your top 10 at the box office this weekend. The Olympics.
Exciting story.
Everyone watching, everyone talking about it. No one more excited about the Olympics, however, I believe, my personal opinion, than Samuel L. Jackson.
Why?
I don't know if you follow Sam Jackson on Twitter, but he has been doing play-by-play highlights of the Olympics all weekend long.
No.
Yes.
What?
Apparently, it's Jackson in front of a big screen, his phone in his hand, just watching every single event and tweeting about it. Tweeting passionately about handball, gymnastics, swimming, archery, you name it. Sam's been tweeting about it constantly. Won't stop.
Is he trying to drive away all of his followers?
He must be. Who y'all got for that badminton gold? One of his tweets. I'm here in Malaysia, might be bringing the badminton noise, he followed up with. It's hilarious if you just follow his tweets. And it's hard to read here on the air because there's
just cursing.
Getting that Malympic fucking fever. He writes a lot of typical Samuel L. Jackson language.
Where would Samuel L. Jackson be hearing that Malaysia is bringing the handball noise? Does anyone know? Like, who's he plugged into?
No, he must just be watching the broadcast, and they must be saying
that Japanese Superman dude's cape keeps getting caught. S three falls, three events. These gymnastics going to be good for thrills and laughs.
He sounds funny. Is it mostly funny or is it
just mostly passionate?
Yeah, no.
Mikulak, USA, just missed the parallel bar and body slammed himself. Damn. So, men's gymnastic team rocked. Let's cheer these girls through, too. U.S. Gym-a-fucking masters.
That's real talk right there, man.
Massive German facial on high bar. Ouch, like a muffa. Told y'all, ladies weightlifting drama. Little babes picking up heavy S. Water polo, as dope as always. Speed, toughness, durability. Strong swim-a-muffas. Yeah.
Water polo sucks.
Americans getting boned on sink diving scores. He's very upset about the synchronized diving scores.
He needs a movie.
So,
never thought I'd say that about Samuel Jackson.
If you really want to enjoy the Olympics, follow Sam Jackson. He's very passionate. And you know me. You know I love my Hollywood collectibles.
Yes, you do.
Great Hollywood collectible news. I heard you guys had on Joe Maddalena.
We did. He was great.
From Profiles in History last week.
Yep.
He's my boy. He's got a huge auction starting today and tomorrow.
We only talked to him because we were afraid if we didn't, and then you came back and found out we didn't, you would be to sell.
There would be hell to pay. today and tomorrow, huge lineup of amazing collectibles. The Wolverine costume that Hugh Jackman wore in the X-Men movies. The original Christopher Reeve, one of the last remaining Christopher Reeve Superman costumes. Great, great stuff. Over the weekend was...
Exciting story.
...was a Star Wars auction. Some enormous numbers for some screen-used Star Wars props, including a Chewbacca headpiece. How much do you think that's sold for? Chewbacca's headpiece.
Well, now, we spoke with him, and he told us, remember what he said, Kevin? It was like $60,000 to $80,000 they were expecting for that, right?
That's what they're expecting, right. Yeah. It exceeded expectations. $172,000.
Yay! Really?
Doubled the expectations.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Yes, they are.
The original poster art, the piece that was done to make up the movie poster when it was released, it was $73,800. And a screen-used blaster rifle, hard to find those rifles, those blasters from the original trilogy, screen-used, over $100,000.
Did they sell this?
No!
Did they
sell that?
That apparently was not up.
A little audio clip?
Not up for auction.
So Star Wars is forever, though, Ralph, right? Meaning that in 100 years, people will still be interested in Star Wars memorabilia.
Yeah, you're
probably,
not,
right?
Going to lose any money on these pieces. This is not a bad investment.
These pieces, I doubt these people are buying them for investments, though. Don't you think they're hardcore fans?
Oh, I'm sure they are, but I'm saying that they're not going to lose money when they die and their kids go to sell off the piece, or whatever. This money will be recouped and they will make a tidy profit, I'm predicting. Here's your celebrity birthdays for today, July the 30th. Our former governor. He used to be an actor once in a while, too. Arnold Schwarzenegger, 65 years old today. Lawrence Fishburne of the Matrix films, 51. Let's not forget, he was also Cowboy Curtis on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Exciting story.
All right, we get it. You have that drop. That exists.
Exciting story.
Lisa Kudrow is 49 years old today. Vivica Fox celebrates her 48th birthday. Terry Crews turns 44. Simon Baker, he's the Mentalist. He's 43 years old. Christopher Nolan of the Dark Knight trilogy turns 42. Tom Green's 41, as is Christine Taylor. Hilary Swank's 38. Jamie Presley's 35. And the lovely and talented Yvonne Strahovski celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
For more than four decades, Gabon's president for life was Omar Bongo. And as we always noted on these occasions, he offered any citizen of Gabon who won a gold medal a dream house and untold riches. Of course, the wily Bongo was well aware that no Gabonian has ever won a medal of any sort. He also had to be aware that when you're president for life, your term ends when your life does, which in the case of the wily Bongo was 2009. His son, Ali Bongo, has succeeded him.
You folks at home need to know when we divvy up the countries, Bob insists on being the guy to get to say Bongo.
Yeah. That's an interesting story. I defy both of you guys to tell me why that's not an interesting story
because
about Gabon.
You like Costas because he does what you do, is talk down to everybody with a smirk on his face. He's a know-it-all. Act like he's better than everybody every year. Hey, if the Olympics aren't big enough for Costas, then what's big enough, Bob? What are we going to have to do? Is it going to be the end of the world? Jesus versus the devil? Is that the only thing that Bob Costas is going to be excited to call? What's wrong with this guy? Every year.
Why does there have to be something wrong with him? Look, he was sharing an interesting fact about the country that was marching the flag. What's wrong
about Gabon or not, and that's not what bothers me. It's the look on his 4'11" little scrunchy Greek-American face that's driving me insane. He's so smug. Look, you guys haven't even introduced me. I'm sorry.
Gentlemen, the great Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money Radio Show, who I think I just cracked the nut on this. He's jealous that there's another Greek in sports who's more famous than he is.
He's 4 feet tall. And there's plenty of famous Greeks, and I have nothing. Look, I love Billy Zane. But the point is this.
Bob is smart, and he's articulate,
and
he's interesting, and he does a great job with this.
He sits in the bathroom after he goes and just, Costas. That's what he does. He loves himself so much.
Which hosted the Helsinki Games in 1952. And now from the fun facts file, in Finland, speeding tickets and parking fines are doled out.
He has a fun facts file.
Yeah. So accordingly,
he has a 4.5-hour show to do. Of course he's going to have fun facts to share.
Lean on Lauer, you little midget.
Over $100,000. If you're wondering how Macedonia fits into the alphabetical order, the IOC recognizes it by the name former Yugoslav Republic.
Bob's a dick. Bob's a dick.
That's not necessary.
He's a dick. Bob's a giant dick. Yeah. What a dick.
Right,
Bob's a dick.
That's
dick,
right. Let's move on.
Bob's a dick. Dick, what a giant dick, such a dick.
All right, that's fine, Kevin, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Dick.
Let me ask our guest, do you want to hear more or no?
Well, I think it goes for a little while. Huh? Dick. Dick.
Would it surprise you to know that we're not quite halfway through?
He's an asshole and a dick. He's a giant big This song, offensive. What a defensive tune.
All right, that's enough.
Look, I just want him to be excited about being there as
he
opposed to being
excited.
All glib and sarcastic and dry and like he's too cool for school. Enough of this too cool for school. Even Dan Patrick and Al Michaels can muster up a little bit of excitement for the Olympics. Be excited about it. I know the opening ceremony sucked. I know there's some weird iPod for the mascot. But come on, this is once every 4 years. Let's do something like maybe smile at the camera, Bob. Maybe
I will tell you that something has gone on in the last few Olympics where every ceremony has to be more like an acid trip than the one before. And we're getting to the point now where unless the next one's in outer space, I don't know how I can get any further out than what Danny Boyle did on Friday night.
You know, I consider myself to be a bit of a polymath, a bit of an eclectic soul. I like a lot of different things.
You like weird things?
Yeah, I collect music and there's different stuff that I'm into, but I didn't get it. I was sitting there. I was waiting to get it.
So that's the type of thing that normally
generally I would enjoy something really weird, but I just, okay, we're celebrating pastoral life, and then here we have these giant phallic smokestacks, and now World War I, and then healthcare, and then a weird giant-headed sleeping baby, and then Voldemort fighting 100 Mary Poppins.
It does sound like a fever dream, the way you describe it.
And then I didn't, look, they played some cool music, but they had that weird, those two kids who were supposed to, like, some social media perform.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
I didn't get it. I mean, I just, it completely escaped me. The scope of it was amazing because you could tell it was a lot of work and all that went into it. But it was dumber than The Bachelorette and the choice that she made, which was a terrible choice.
We are not going to talk about that.
Jeff
that right
with
now.
One F on that pompadour.
We can't get
all right,
into that.
Let
now.
Me ask you a couple
we
of sports.
Because where's Ralph?
We can't. Let me ask you a couple of sports-related angles to the opening ceremonies. Two questions in particular. One is, can we please, if he survives another 4 years, can we please not bring Muhammad Ali out? No disrespect to the great Olympian, but at this point, it's just sad to keep putting that man on TV, right?
You know, I got to spend, this actually was a while back, but I got to spend some time with him on a couple occasions, and it's a lot different than you'd think.
It looks terrible.
Oh, yeah. That didn't look good, and I didn't know what his wife was trying to get him to do. I don't know what he
touched the flag, I thought,
and
but
I guess he wouldn't or couldn't. I don't know. I've
seen
the man.
I can't walk. I can't hold a walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Well, okay. The man is suffering, so. But
that was sad, though, to have that on TV. Somebody should have vetted that choice.
I didn't get it, but if they wanted to have him there, they're going to have him. You know, all that stuff is negotiated and talked about 1,000 times. You know, Beckham on the speedboat.
Sure.
Queen looking disinterested. I mean, how about mustering? I know she's old, how about mustering? She was like Costas, too. How about like, hey, how about just like punch open in the opening? How about open, you know, open the games. How about
I was arguing with Pete about this earlier.
Open.
He says everything she does is great. She could have smiled.
How about a little delivery, Queenie?
Okay.
Asking for delivery. I just wanted a little smile.
Yeah, you jumped out of a plane. How about delivering it?
I didn't say everything she does is great, Kevin. I said she is not a demonstrative person. She doesn't show a lot of emotion on her face, good or bad.
Ever a time.
Yeah. Just punch the word open. Just, you know, or welcome. How about welcome?
Listen, here's the tape. Here's the tape of the Queen opening the Olympics, and I'm telling you, I think she's on fire. I've never heard her as jacked up as she is right here.
I declare open the Games of London, celebrating the 30th Olympiad of the modern era.
She went off on that.
Earl Grey's all around. Earl Grey, three Earl Greys. All right.
Last question about the opening, and that is, I said I had another question about the athletes. What about, I'm surprised it wasn't more controversial, but rather than go with a big name to light the torch, they did this convoluted thing where they had 6 or 7 young British athletes that none of us have ever heard of, and then they had mentors that they hugged, and they all were passing torches around. And it just kind of wasn't as effective as having a big name up there light the torch. Right?
I think they just kind of wanted to do a thing where they're looking toward the future, because I think doing Bannister or somebody like that, you know, the guy that broke 1 minute in the mile or something. I mean, doing that,
four-minute mile.
That's a fast mile if he broke a minute.
Yeah. Quick.
4 minute mile.
Quick.
And I didn't know that dude was still alive, by the way.
A couple of Earl Greys that morning. The point is, I thought it was a little weird and convoluted. And hey, Wouldn't it have been so much cooler if we had a Smiths reunion instead of McCartney up there
sure.
with his
Agreed.
Voice all shaking?
That old lesbian trying to sing that song?
Did they just say that, oh, he was choked up because of the scope of the games instead of just old and terrible? Because they did try to say that. Oh, did you hear Paul in the first verse of Hey Jude get a little choked up? It's like, no. He didn't get choked up. He's old and awful now. I mean, if it was Lennon, sure, run him up there. But McCartney?
Yeah,
I'd rather see Ringo Starr in the All-Star Band.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, sure I would.
No, you wouldn't.
His big old nose. Gary Wright plays with him, you know, the Dreamweaver.
You could
now, that would have been an opening ceremony.
You could have brought out Yoko. Yoko Ono.
You know, it had gone hand-in-hand with the rest of the crap we had to watch.
That's true.
Well, we did get 5 minutes of Tubular Bells in 2012. That was an odd choice, too, wasn't it?
I mean, when Beijing beats your ass, that's not, you know, I mean, when the Chinese just creatively destroy you.
But they have slave labor.
Yeah, but they brought out all those drummers. That was kick-ass. What did the Brits do? Bring out a bunch of hospital beds and dancing nurses? That was stupid.
And top hats.
Let's celebrate our health care, okay?
Well,
really?
For what it's worth, the highest-rated Summer Olympics opening ceremony ever. Yeah, so NBC doesn't really care what we think.
They were trying to get something out of it. That's why I did it. I was like, I got to keep watching. That at some point, I'm going to enjoy this.
It's going to turn around.
And it never happened. I mean, they played My Boy Lollipop and A Message to You, Rudy, but it was only like 3 seconds at a time.
The great Petros Papadakis is in studio with us here from the Petros and Money Show. You can hear him weekday afternoons at AM 570 locally and at petrosandmoney.com. More with our guests.
The Bachelor segment?
Nope.
With
right
Ralph?
After this on
nope.
the Kevin.
Be followed by the Czech Republic.
Ugh.
And here's a story. The British actor John Cleese of Monty Python fame was the face of a marketing campaign in the Czech Republic for its Olympic team. The team's spokesman said they were looking for some British character, and quote, John Cleese was our first choice.
What do you want him
because
to talk about?
Funny
Nothing.
British gentleman.
To
no
shut
denying
up.
That. Also no denying that one of the great figures in Olympic history was the Czech distance runner Emil Zatopek.
Kill me. Just kill me.
So just no play-by-play. You just want to watch them enter the stadium in silence.
No, he's screaming at some poor PA, where's my facts? Where's my Cleese fact?
I had a fun fact file. Where is it?
Give me that. Facts aren't good enough. They're not as good as Beijing.
Bean, what I would tell you is that I think they should cut the entrance ceremony entirely.
Well, that's absurd.
The parade of nations?
Yes.
That's absurd.
And they should do it like they did when they were coming back from the commercial, where they would highlight.
There's Cameroon.
In 1 second.
Just fly right through it till they get to your country. Otherwise, you're there for 2.5 hours listening to Bob Costas prattle on about his fun facts.
Yeah, Petros, but then you got McCartney.
Petros Papadakis is in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show for the Petros Money Show. Let's turn our attention to sports for a second. What'd you watch this weekend? How do you decide with all the events going on?
I watched our friend Pat O'Brien. Hello. Doing the tennis on Bravo. Hello, Bravo fans. It's me, Pat O'Brien.
They put tennis on Bravo for a reason,
right? That's right. Look at it go back. It's a different vibe here in Wimbledon for the Olympics. A lot more talking. So that was Pat.
So you watch tennis.
I watch Pat.
I watch zero tennis.
Archery. Watch some archery because they're fat, and I kind of like that.
Right.
I watched the women's soccer. I watch a women's basketball. I watched the swimming.
You watched the Dream Team? You get up for that yesterday?
No.
I set my TiVo for that in 100 different ways and missed it. Somehow. I don't know. I went through all of my TiVo and I could not find it.
They're trying to figure out how to get people into these venues because they're all sold out and they're empty, which is amazing because there's so many tickets that are allotted for corporate types and sponsors.
Oh,
you've
see.
Been to Olympics. Sure. You know what it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
And people with a lot of money just gaggles, bundles of tickets that are comped to these important people that don't show up. And what you have are these giant chasms in a lot of these venues. And they're trying to figure out a way to line people up and maybe sell them for half price in the moment because that would be a good way. Because certainly there's a lot of people that want to get in there, but they can't. I watch some beach volleyball. I love the track and field is what I usually get excited about. And I end up really getting into the women's gymnastics every year for some weird reason, just because these people live in caves for 14 years. And then
you do feel like that's been that little girl's entire 14 years on this planet. Please God, let her score.
And it's great.
You know what I mean?
But it's horrible too.
Yeah.
Because then you see somebody, it really is the agony of defeat, because when somebody doesn't succeed in one of these weird niche sports, I mean, if Kevin Durant misses a dunk, it's like, okay, well, Kevin Durant's going to be fine.
Right.
Not worried about Kevin Durant. But, but a lot of these people in these weird little niche sports, I mean, this is it. This is their moment. Their whole life is wrapped up around minutes or seconds, and it's to a certain degree, it's kind of heartbreaking.
There's some girl, I don't know their names well enough to speak intelligently on the subject, but some girl who's the current world champion who did not qualify for the all-around.
Yeah, yeah, the girl in the gymnastics last night. Yeah. Yeah, that was nice. Nice crying image that I woke up to this morning.
P, what about the zero of the games, even though he did win a silver yesterday, and that is Michael Phelps, who has less personality than any human on Earth. No one looks like they want to be at the Olympics less than this guy. He really does look like, since 4 years ago, all he's done is smoke weed and eat Subway, and nothing else has crossed his mind,
well,
right?
Have you heard of any Olympic swimmer like going on to be a great leader or anything like this? These are not brilliant people,
no.
Generally. I mean, they, and I remember this at USC. I mean, we'd be walking to practice at 6 in the morning. So that's about a 5 a.m. walk, and then you got to get taped and do all that stuff. And we'd be walking by the Olympic pool at USC where they had the Olympics. And, I mean, those people are in the water already. They're in the water. And then when you walk back, your day is over at 5, they're in the water. I mean, they live a weird life. And, well, let's talk about the social circles of swimmers for a moment.
Yes.
Phelps sucks, all right? He's just not driven like he was. And you can't blame him. That guy Lochte's
a guy. But
he's got
all that personality, so he's got that.
But what do you expect? I mean, when is he going to develop a personality? This is what it is with swimmers. You go to any college campus, an elite college athletic department, any college campus, and you're going to want to go to one or two parties a year. Both of those parties are going to be thrown by the swimmers.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Somebody in their car right now is an athlete at Tulsa's going, yeah! Because it's true. And this is why. You have devastatingly attractive people, generally. All of them wearing nothing.
Right.
They're all shaven to the nine.
Right.
So they're slick in the water.
Right.
They work out 8-9 hours a day and stare at each other in these skimpy outfits.
Right.
They get after it. Okay. When they have a party, they get after each other like I've never seen anything. And they all wear medals. I mean, we had all these people at USC that won medals. You basically have all these people grinding on each other, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, wearing Olympic medals. It's the weirdest thing. And then the women are a little self-conscious because they got those big shoulders.
Yeah.
So they need a big guy like me to come, hey, it's okay.
Like you?
Hey, I like your big shoulders. Come here. Come here. It's all right.
Let me hold you. Is contrary to like somebody like Ryan Lochte, who seems to have a great personality. He loves rock and roll.
Oh, he's so creative. He calls his following Lochte Nation.
Right.
Wow. No. Who thought of that, Lochte?
But what I'm
that
saying is
awesome.
But he's having a good time.
He's got
personality, and he still is great in the water.
There's a lot of pressure on these people, you know, and this is Lochte's time. Last Olympics was Phelps's time. These guys, they work really hard, and they go out there and try to get a crack. And, I mean, Phelps is not, he's barely qualifying for some of these events. You know, he's all the way out there in that lane and that 400 medley that he came fourth in. I mean, he's in the ninth lane. I mean, he's getting the wave, like the wake from everybody else. He's not going to win.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it amazes me how much, because people really do love, maybe it's because the Americans are so dominant all these years, but we all love watching swimming so much in the Olympics, and I can never figure it out, because when do you turn on a swim meet other than the Olympics? I mean, you never, gymnastics the same, but with swimming, it's like, look, I can walk alongside the pool faster than the fastest guy in the history of swimming.
You don't watch those sports because I think they're not tied into the USA versus the world, which this is.
I suppose, but we lost to France last night, dude. We lost to France.
In the relay, right?
Yeah. France beat our ass.
Should we?
And that's tough.
Should we pull out?
In swimming? I mean, the French beat you in swimming. Like, really? I mean, I thought the French had a great aversion to water. They do. I mean, you know, that was a tough L for the U.S. to take.
Have you watched badminton? That rules. I'm not kidding.
I watch table tennis.
Table tennis?
Oh, because table tennis, they do the weirdest, most like praying mantis looking kind of like the way they serve. It's like, that's not how I serve. You know, and I'm not great at ping pong, but I'm pretty good.
But let me answer this. As good as they are, and it's fascinating to watch because they're so good, how is ping pong an Olympic sport?
I don't know.
And baseball isn't.
How did that ever get in?
Some of this stuff that you watch. And we have help now with the really slow motion that we can watch and the replay, and it is interesting. But, like, some of this stuff, it all happens so fast. Like, the fencing, it's like, oh, there's a touch! What?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, you know, it kind of looked like you brushed your hip with your forearm. And
when they do that diving stuff, to me, it looks brilliant. And they go, oh, he's going to get marked down on that. I'm like, for what?
Oh, this is my... dreadful. It's just like, oh, well, like a guy fell off the funnel horse the other day, and I thought it was like, oh, nice dismount. It was like, this is devastating. It's like, and since when did our male Olympic gymnast guys, since when did they become a boy band? Well, doesn't it all look like they're going to show up in overalls and start dancing? I mean, God, what's wrong with these guys?
I did see that, maybe you saw this last night, Kevin, the synchronized swimmers, those girls. And I was with you, and I was like, oh, my God, that's incredible. Those guys were exactly doing the same thing, which is what you're supposed to do when you're synchronized.
Yeah, that's the word in there. Synchronized.
And then they... the announcers are like, wow, they're going to take off a lot. She was 2 inches from the end of that diving board with her right foot. And I was like, what's happening now?
Just roll Martin Short out there, right? I mean, just do that for that. I mean, wouldn't people get a lot more out of it if you...
It is amazing.
Some of this stuff is, but you just have to remember that most athletes that we're around are terrible people, with the exception of hockey players. I mean, basketball, football, baseball, they're all pretty awful and difficult to deal with because they're professionals and they're millionaires. These are great people for the most part, with the exception of Hope Solo.
How dare you, sir?
These are fun people to want to watch succeed, and even if it's another country, it is. There is something special about the Olympics, but that opening ceremony, it left a sour taste in the old pea's mouth.
Me too.
Well, you got a lot to...
What about The Bachelor, though? We're going to do another segment.
Oh, we're out of time. I'm sorry. We got to say goodbye now.
Because, that linebacker from Kansas State, he's going to be the next Bachelor, and Ralph and I are gonna be pretty excited about that, I think.
Petros Papadakis.
And Bachelor Pad's on tonight. I don't know about the Olympics.
It's on the Petros and Money show that airs weekday afternoons 4 to 7 at AM 570, and at petrosandmoney.com. You can hear a lot more inane chatter on those guys' show starting this afternoon.
Inane?
Thanks for stopping by, man. Good to see you.
Thank you.
I couldn't love Jack White any more than I do, by the way, with the Rockin' Tours and Dead Weather and the White Stripes and, of course, his solo stuff. And he plays a little bit of everything in concert August 10th or 11th at the Shrine. We just give away tickets here on the Kevin and Bean Show to Fred Medrano from Santa Paula. And he is also in the grand prize drawing we do Friday to send you to see Jack White one more time, this time at the Voodoo Experience in New Orleans. How about that? It's K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012 destination number 5. We got your details at K-Rock.com, and your chance to win is coming up.
Turns out they know how to drink in New Orleans.
They do.
All right, let's talk TMZ. Mike Walters, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
How's your little friend Dax doing as a new daddy? Is he recovered?
Yeah, he's taking too much time off work, I told him.
Yeah, well, because you have to do more?
Well, we were giving him crap because his daughter's beautiful, by the way. He named her Skylar. And the first thing we did was a bunch of stripper jokes in the newsroom.
Yeah, well, Skylar's a half a stripper name right there.
That's the problem.
I think it was funny, though, that the kid's picture was up on TMZ within like 48 hours of her birth. I thought that's a bad way to start.
When I had my son last year, they live streamed from the hospital. Harvey sent a live stream camera to the hospital.
That's hilarious.
That's what he does.
I'm not sure we need that. I'll be honest.
Let's talk about a couple of things with you, Mike. When I saw the photo on your site at TMZ.com this morning of Kobe Bryant, obviously in a nightclub wearing dress pants, no shirt, and he has got two ridiculously young and hot short-skirted girls sitting next to him, I thought, all right, here we go all over again. Here's trouble. And then the explanation is almost unbelievable. Tell me what's going on in that photo.
That's the best part of the story. So we got these photos. It's Kobe, no shirt. And it's the same pants that he was wearing in the nightclub earlier in the night. This is the after party.
Right.
Okay? And what appears to be a private after party, but he's got two hot chicks and then a chick that's taking the photo.
Right.
So three chicks. And I assume they're all hot. And he's in the room. He's hanging out with these chicks. And then we called for comment on the story, and I was able to get a hold of somebody that's with Kobe. This is in Barcelona. And this is the explanation
for these photos. London, you mean, right?
Well, they were in Barcelona right before London.
Oh, it was the night before. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So this is the explanation. Kobe Bryant got an entire drink spilled on his shirt. So, of course, if your shirt's soaking wet, what do you have to do? Take it off. And he was waiting. This picture was the moment, which wasn't very long, in between getting a new shirt from somebody and when he got the drink spilled on him. I mean,
I believe
what a great explanation.
What? Seriously?
I mean, his wife must have wrote that, to be honest.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is bring me up to speed. Where are he and Vanessa right now? What's going on with them? They're not officially back together, right?
Right. She filed for divorce. The divorce is pending in Orange County. But from all we've seen, they were starting to reconcile. Remember, there was those pictures from one of the last games of the season where she was in, like, the locker room area kissing him. So for what we all think is they're back together, I mean, and this has got to not please her, right?
absolutely
yeah, right.
My
not.
My wife would kill me, or my wife would probably kick my ass, but my wife would be so mad.
Right, but Mike, the difference is that women are not dying to hang out with you, and I don't want to defend
Kobe. And if I take my shirt off, it looks nothing like Kobe.
And I don't want to defend Kobe because I know a lot of people hate Kobe, but whatever basketball player you love from the team this year, if it's LeBron or whoever, people are dying to party with those guys.
Okay, but that's not the point here, Kevin. That's not the point. The point here is how believable is somebody spilled a drink on my shirt, so I'm going to take my shirt off in the nightclub and sit around with no shirt on. How believable is that? Would you ever take your shirt off because it got wet? Ever in a nightclub?
No, because us three, they would tell us to put it back on.
That's true. They would.
Please.
The security would
that.
Get us and toss us out.
We just throw it out.
It sounds like a completely made up, fabricated story.
I know.
Though,
that's
why
the best part of it. That's the best
it's
part.
It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And you would think that Kobe, with everything he's been through, would not ever want to be in a position where he's photographed doing anything that's going to make him look bad with his
wife.
Think
about this. In the after party, why don't you stop every hot chick and take their iPhone? Like, Kobe, get with the program. Get with technology. These chicks are not texting each other. They're taking photos of you with your shirt off.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, we only have a minute left here, Mike, but real quick, I just want to put a button on this story that we talked about right as we were leaving the air on Friday, and that was Dane Cook doing a joke about the Batman shooting in Aurora, Colorado. And you guys you guys broke this story, and then you caught up with Dane. You actually got him on camera later that day. What happened? What's the fallout from that?
He basically said that it was not good timing, that his material, he did this joke about the shootings and it was bad timing. It was like one week afterwards, and he knew that it was wrong. And to be honest, it's way more insensitive when it's not funny.
Like, that's
if you're
true.
A comedian and you do a good joke on stage, whether it's homophobic or racist, sometimes it's funny because if you're doing it and it's really funny, then people laugh. This wasn't funny, so it was very insensitive.
So you're saying it was insensitive, but had it been funny, maybe he could have got away with it.
I bet you that no one would have said anything, to be honest.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think we're also willing to give comedians a wide berth to broach sensitive subjects in the name of comedy and to work out new material on stage, and I don't fault anyone from that. But the joke kind of has to be based in some sort of reality or some sort of crazy premise, and his was just, hey, the Batman movie sucks, so people were glad to get shot just because they didn't have to watch.
It
didn't even make any sense because everyone says the movie's great too, so it failed on every single level. Sensitivity and comedy.
I have one breaking story before. I know we all have no time left,
yes, please.
But you guys know, realize I'm the only one that's seen the Mika Kelly sex tape, right?
What?
Are you serious?
We asked Harvey about that.
I know you did, and he came out and told me, and I said, why didn't you let me talk to him? I'll tell him what happened.
You saw it?
So you saw the video, or you just saw stills from the video?
I saw the video. It's 30 minutes long.
What time can I meet you?
Everything about Mika Kelly that you think is that way. But the best part of the tape is this. The guy she's with looks like Efren Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite.
Really?
It is so a win for all those guys out there that look like us that have no chance of having sex with Mika Kelly. This guy did.
When is that going to get released?
I to be honest, I'm not sure it'll ever see the light of day.
When are you going to meet me?
You guys, when the show's over, call me later, okay?
All right. Mike, don't ever let us waste our time on the air talking about freaking Dane Cook if you've got Mika Kelly sex tape news.
I was like, oh, these guys want
to
know about
this. Damn you to hell. Mike Walters in the TMZ newsroom, TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, and please check your local listings for all the fine TMZ television shows. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk
later,
to you soon.
Later, guys.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:54.
Catch you by surprise there, Kevin?
Just a bit.
The show's still going on.
Just a bit.
Kevin's already in the car on the way home. Hey, Ralph Garman is here.
What?
Filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I hope he comes back from vacation soon. I don't think I can do this job for very long. I hope Ralph Garman gets back here. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, The Dark Knight Rises continues to hold on to the number one slot with another big weekend, $64.1 million. Made it number one by far. The closest competitor was Ice Age 4 Continental Drift, which came in with $13.3 million, making it number two. Then The Watch, Step Up, Revolution, and Ted. Rounding out the top five, The Amazing Spider-Man, Brave, Magic Mike, Savages, and Moonrise Kingdom are the rest of the top ten at the box office. By the way, The Dark Knight Rises has pulled in nearly $540 million worldwide.
Today, not bad.
Pretty strong. Someone sent me an email saying, what does that mean to the actual movie company? What percentage of that box office dollar goes to the filmmakers versus the theaters? And that's a very good question. And in the early run of a movie, the first couple weeks,
specifically. The deal is traditionally 90-10 for the movie companies versus the theaters. So 90% of that $540 million is going to Warner Brothers et al. For the Dark Knight Rises. Then as the run progresses, then the terms of the negotiation shift, and it goes to 70-30, and then eventually the theaters start to win the lion's share of the box office dollar. Used to be a better deal for theaters back in the day when movies stayed in theaters longer. There was a time where a movie like Jaws, for example, would be in theaters for 6-8 months.
Yeah.
And so the theaters would make a lot of money that way. But now the movies are pulled so quickly because they're going to DVD and other ancillary markets, they don't get nearly that kind of money. So they still, to this day, theaters predominantly make their money on concessions.
That explains the $10 popcorn.
Yep.
That's a very savvy analysis right there.
Thank you very much. My father was in the movie distribution business for years. That's how I know all that stuff. CNN has apologized to Sarah Palin.
Why?
They did a story this weekend on the fact that she went to Chick-fil-A and took a photo of her buying Chick-fil-A and tweeted it and Facebooked it to show her support for Chick-fil-A,
right,
which, as you know, hates gay people.
As does Sarah Palin.
Right. So she was showing her her solidarity with that company. Well, CNN was running the story, and as they were coming out of commercial going into the story, they were playing Pink song Stupid Girls as they went into the story. And someone pointed that out, and they said it was just a coincidence. It was unintentional and not meant as a commentary on the former Republican vice presidential candidate. So no harm, no foul there, I guess.
And do we believe CNN when they say that? Not even a little
bit.
Like
the Roots playing Lioness Bitch when Michelle Bachman walked on stage with Jimmy Fallon. Remember that? So take them for what it's worth. Speaking of Chick-fil-A.
How desperate is Sarah Palin to have people talking about her now that she's not doing anything to go out and take a photo like this so that she can get in on the current conversation?
She's such an Esther. It's like she's got to be in the line. How can I do that? Oh, if I go to Chick-fil-A, everybody's talking about that. Then I'll post a picture and then people will have to talk about me.
Yep.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a job. She's not doing anything. She's not running for anything. She's just missing the spotlight, I guess.
It's a full-time job just hating gay people, I think.
Well, yeah, that
takes a lot of time out of her day.
A lot of time and effort.
She's running around to every kind of organization that doesn't like gay people and supporting them.
How about less time hating gay people, more time teaching your teenage daughter about birth control?
Oh, speaking of which, good news for Bristol. Bristol's got a gig. She's back. Dancing with the Stars, the All-Star Edition. How about that?
Yeah! Wait.
The All-Star Dancing with the Stars.
But she was terrible, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. In Touch Weekly has leaked the roster of the upcoming 15th season, which will be the All-Star Show. And there she is. How do you like that? Bristol Palin, who couldn't dance, is going to be in the All-Star Show.
Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
Sadly, Psycho Mike didn't make the cut, but Pamela Anderson will be dancing.
They're just out of celebrities, right? Is that why they do
Elio
this?
Elio Castroneves, the race car driver.
All of these shows, if they're on long enough, Kevin, whether they're Survivor or whatever, they go to the All-Stars because there's a lot of fan favorites they can bring back.
Melissa Rycroft.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of these people the first time.
She was a bachelorette.
She was a bachelorette, yes. Right. Joey Fatone. Gilles Marini. Sean Johnson. Drew Lachey. Kelly Monaco. Apollo Ono. And Emmett Smith. That's the All-Star Dancing with the Stars.
Those last four that you mentioned all won the competition.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Yeah, I don't either. I know who Emmett Smith is.
Yeah. But
other than that, I'm at a loss. So there you go. There's your Dancing with the Stars update. Woo. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Yvonne Strahovski of Chuck fame. Soon to be seen on Dexter this upcoming season. She is 30 years old. Jamie Presley's 35. Hilary Swank's 38. Christine Taylor is 41 years old, as is Tom Green. Christopher Nolan turns 42. Simon Baker of The Mentalist is 43. Terry Crews, former NFL player, now professional actor, 44 years old. Vivica Fox is 48. Lisa Kudrow, 49 years old. Lawrence Fishburne's 51. Jean Reno celebrates his 64th birthday. And actor and former governor of this great state of ours, Arnold Schwarzenegger, celebrates his 65th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz.
There's apparently a very popular show on Sunday nights in this country called Keeping Up with the Kardashians. You guys heard about that?
I haven't.
we don't watch it because LaQuisha does, and she joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, LaQuisha.
Are you keeping up with the Kardashians?
We are not.
I am not. No.
Well, then you better stop making your sex tapes.
How you been? How's your favorite show?
This show is very heartfelt this season. Oh. Very, very exciting and lots of things going on with people. And Kris Jenner is the star of this season.
It's funny because last time I thought I remembered you saying that nothing happens and you hate this show.
Oh, that's right. That's what I meant to say.
Ah.
But Kris Jenner still is the focus of attention because Kris Jenner needs to be the focus of attention.
Yeah.
So she starts going back to hang out with her old boyfriend, the one she was cheating on Robert Kardashian with, and to see if there's any love still there left over for her to have with this guy.
Wait.
Now, Bruce Jenner is her husband.
Right, that's what I was just going to say.
And so she, behind his back, meets up with this fellow and decides, no, there's no feelings there. I'm going to go back to my husband, Bruce Jenner. The grass isn't always greener on the other side of the prophylactic. And so she goes home from dinner with this man, wakes Bruce Jenner out of a dead-ass sleep, wakes him up in the middle of the night to tell him, oh, I went to dinner by this guy behind your back, but I still love you. That's not something you wake a man up to tell him.
No, you never tell him that.
I may have been fantasizing about somebody for the last 23 years that didn't really deserve that kind of recognition.
She's showering me with all these great, lovely things, but she went behind my back. I'm not excited about this, that's for sure.
What an idiot you are.
What an idiot you are.
Wow. Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Now, who's the idiot? The idiot or the idiot that marries and then stays with the idiot?
That's right? A great question.
Well, other things are going on this episode. For instance, I didn't know Kim Kardashian has a superpower.
What?
She has a superpower. She can sense when someone has a cavity.
What are you talking about?
What don't you understand about cavity?
Nobody can sense when you have a cavity.
I know she gave Lamar Odom a hug on the way out of Chloe's house, and all became known to her.
Chloe?
Yeah?
I think Lamar has a cavity.
Duh, he has like 20, I'm sure.
No, I could smell it.
I'm sure. Bible, he has like 20.
My sixth sense is coming. I have this like sixth sense where I can smell if someone has a cavity. And everyone knows Lamar loves candy.
Yes. She has a sixth sense that she can smell bad breath.
He eats candy 24/7. That's been verified.
Yeah, and
of course he has.
His breath is like his teeth are rotting out of his head. Apparently, breath could knock a buzzard off a poop wagon.
It's not a sixth sense, though.
No, it's a sixth sense. She has a paranormal ability to be able to smell bad breath coming out of a large black man.
Isn't it just smell, which is one of the five senses?
Yeah, it's one of the five senses. Yeah, I think she's overestimating her ability to smell. Maybe she thinks other people can't smell.
It's possible.
And that she has a special ability because her nose takes in fragrances. Well, I tell you, they got to get Lamar to the dentist, and Kim makes it her mission to do so, but his own wife, Chloe, won't make it happen.
Speaking of lambs, did Lam go to the dentist?
No, not yet.
Why? That's disgusting.
Tell me about it.
No, how do you smell his breath? How do you kiss him? First of all, he doesn't have bad breath, Chloe. I almost throw up in my mouth every time I give him a hug.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Say Bible.
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 Say Bible? Is that how they swear?
Yes. Because you swear on a Bible, right?
Right.
When you're doing something. So if you just say Bible. Bible, that's short term speak for I swear on a Bible, that is true.
I like it.
Bible.
Like it.
Well, now they're trying to get Lamar to go to the dentist, and they're trying to get Kris to go to a lie detector specialist.
So
they can ask her questions whether she's cheating on Bruce Jenner with this other guy or not. So they get her in the lie detector chair, and the daughters are writing out the questions, and they're not even asking about the damn affair. They're asking other things.
Have you ever taken more than your cut from any of your daughter's deals?
No.
Is Robert Kardashian Khloe's biological father?
Yes.
They're asking all kinds of questions, nothing to do with her relationships. Like, are you stealing money from us? is Khloe's dad really O.J. Simpson? Well, she passes the test. but not everybody in the house is pleased about it, especially Bruce. And Lamar, they finally get to the dentist.
Oh, great.
But he's got so much work that needs to be done. He's got a root canal he needs. He needs a tooth pulled because it's rotted beyond saving.
Oh, gross.
He's got about 20 different cavities and 20 different teeth.
Oh.
He's got periodontal disease. He's got about 7 hours worth of work he needs, but he needs to be done. Jeez, I wonder how Kim could smell that.
Why doesn't Chloe?
Better
but
question.
They have to put him under in order to do the work. They're going to knock his ass out. And here he is at the early stages of being high at the dentist's office.
You guys got the coolest jobs in the world. Got like, you make millions of dollars a year. You're in Beverly Hills.
That's right, I'll fly.
You walk outside, you probably get some of the best sandwiches in the world.
What?
Really?
What? He is high.
Really? Sandwiches?
You get the best sandwiches in the world. So they knock him out, and then they fix him up, and there his mouth is all better now. And he doesn't smell like a poop wagon.
I can't believe this is a television show that people watch where then, Lamar goes to the dentist.
Then Rob Kardashian, he's worried that his hair's falling out. He thinks his hair's getting thin. This is on television.
Oh, no. What
he's
does
looking
he do?
At his hair. Well, what can he do? Because he's got an important engagement coming up.
I have an appearance in Vegas, and I'm flying with my mom, Kim, Kendall, and Kylie.
Who is booking Robert Kardashian at their appearance in Las Vegas?
I don't know, but if he's going with Kim, I'm guessing it's her gig.
No, it was actually him.
What?
They booked him to make an appearance at a nightclub. Rob Kardashian.
Hey, I'm you sorry. Told us a couple
Paulie,
weeks.
Was Paulie and Vinny not available that weekend?
You told us a couple weeks ago that a family had booked him for a Sweet 16 party.
No,
I don't get it
Scott
either.
Disick. Scott Disick.
That was Scott
booked
Disick.
For a Sweet 16.
Well, this equally I'm equally miffed by this one as well.
Well, all I care about is Bruce and Chris getting back together again, and that's all the daughters care about too. They're planning a romantic weekend to force them to work things out because listen to how sweet their love used to be in the beginning.
I mean, I feel like when Mom and Bruce, whenever they talk about when they first met and it was love at first sight, and they would like French kiss at all times and like share
steak.
Each other's food.
They would eat steak, one of them, and swap it out of the other one's
mouth. One would chew, one would swallow.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. One would chew up the steak and spit the chewed steak into the other one's mouth, and then that one would swallow that food down.
What are they, birds? What are they, birds?
What the hell? That's not love. That's mental illness.
That's gross.
That's gross. This episode was the most disgusting one ever. You got all smelly breath, Lamar, and you got them chewing steak and spitting it back and forth. One's going bald, the other one's having a... What's wrong with these people? You'll be happy to know, though, at the end of the romantic weekend,
yeah.
Bruce and Chris, they clink their glasses.
Sure.
Let's have a toast. Come on, honey. To how fabulous our life used to be, is, and is going to be.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Then they go upstairs and chew each other's meat.
So to speak.
No, they really chewed each other's meat.
I see, okay. All right, LaQuisha, we'll talk to you next week.
Damn you to hell.
I don't know if you were listening in the other room, Ralph, but Kevin was not impressed with Her Majesty Friday night at the opening ceremony.
That's why he's no longer with Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Hello! I'm the most important person in the world. I can't smile.
That's
my blood
why they took
better than you.
Kevin's 00 status
Hello!
Away from him.
I'm better than you.
What is your problem with the queen?
Even, I can't even smile.
She affects you... None at all.
She affected me at the Olympics.
Because
she was on
up.
Your TV?
Because she showed up.
Because she showed up.
Because it's her country.
Was sour and just looked like she was constipated. You can't force
you want
yourself
her
to
playing
smile.
Playing sax on the Arsenio show? What does it do? What does a world leader have to do?
I don't know. She has to
entertain you?
Back in time. Is it too much to ask her to smile?
She can do whatever she wants. She can smile. She can not smile. She's just showing up. It's the Olympics. It's not the Monarch Giddy Hour. It's not supposed to be about world leaders cracking jokes.
If there was a Monarch Giddy Hour, I would watch that. She's a old, angry bitch.
You know nothing
about
her.
She needs to be stopped.
Why does Kevin hate
the Queen?
Ralph is right. She's not a kid from the Step Up movie on an MTV show right now with an attitude.
They're
all right?
Welcoming the world to the Olympics. Can she be a nice host and just force?
I think she's a nice host. She's opening her country to a lot of athletes to come to play their little games.
Just a small little smile so that she doesn't look like she's so miserable.
You want her to slow jam the news with Jimmy Fallon? Is that what she has to do?
Tiny little smile. Am I asking for too much for a little smile?
I think you're
too
obsessed.
Much?
I think you have a crush
on
her.
Am I asking for too much?
That's what it is.
If I were a betting man, I'd say you are just putting her pigtails in the inkwell because you have a crush on her.
Isn't that
you're obsessed?
I would make it hurt, I'll tell you that.
I just think the fact that she did a taped sketch with
right.
James Bond
where she looked like
shows
she
a sense
have been
of humor.
Having less fun.
But she did it. She agreed
so
to do that.
What?
Doesn't that show you that she has got some sense of humor?
Am I asking
they
for too much?
They didn't put a gun to her head to make her appear in that filmed piece.
Am I asking for too much? Answer this question. Am I asking for too much for a tiny smile? Just a little right. something.
She
to
didn't
let
give you a tiny
know.
Smile, but she did play a major role in a goofy sketch about James Bond hanging out at the Buckingham Palace. She wasn't in that. She
yeah,
wasn't
she
in
was
that
in
sketch.
It. She was at the very beginning, and then they were like, "Oh, this is crazy! She's jumping out of the helicopter," and then she walked out before they even hit the ground.
So she didn't actually jump out of a helicopter.
No.
Is that your problem with her too?
No, it's just they give her so much credit. Like, oh, look, it's showing her sense of humor. No, a tiny smile.
Wow.
Wouldn't have killed her.
Wow. Tough room.
Would it have killed her?
Tough room.
A tiny little smile.
Just fascinated by your...
I am too. I love it so much.
She looks like she's completely constipated, and as soon as she opens the game, she's going to run back and just drop a deuce the size of Prince whatever his name is.
Oh, old Prince whatever his name is.
It would help if I knew his name, but
Valiant?
I don't.
Valiant? Thinking Prince Valiant,
her
maybe?
Her husband, whatever that guy is. That no. Duke
I just...
of
I love that it's not that Kevin noticed that she wasn't smiling and thought, that's unusual. He has just been obsessing for the last 72 hours over the fact that she didn't smile for him.
Can't get past it.
Can't get past it.
You probably even enjoy the badminton trials because of that.
I love the badminton trials. Badminton
your rules.
Ralph is here. He is back from vacation. He was much
you
missed.
Me?
Time to do the
what
show business.
What was I thinking
the
coming back, by
you
the way?
Me, Ralph?
There must have been, I don't know.
Come
what...
on, we're still buddies, right?
I'll tell you something. I got here first thing in the morning. And in the other room, I heard Beer Mug's voice tell me I got 45 seconds to show this. I did not miss that at all. That was one thing. I was like, oh, man.
You were able to forget that Beer Mug existed while you were gone,
right? I didn't hear for 2 weeks,
we
and then I forgot that existed.
We should have sent him wherever you were and follow you around and give you time.
That's chewing on tinfoil right there. That's the nails on the chalkboard you don't need first thing in the morning.
Wouldn't that be the best?
45 seconds, stupid.
I do not sound like that.
Be the best if Muggs did that for you in real life. Ralph, your coffee's going to be ready in a minute.
Imagine that's your alarm clock.
30 seconds.
Time to get up. I'm wearing my Flexo belt.
Outrageous.
Mr. Garvin, your water's hot. Time for your shower.
Sweet God in heaven. How does he live with that voice in his own head?
I don't think he that hears face it. And that life.
Come on. Right? When did this come attack beer mug?
Am I right?
The minute you started being you. Yeah. Unreal. Okay, let's get to show business. Now that we've all vented to a certain extent or another. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Dark Knight Rises. Boy, that's a big hit. I still haven't seen it, by the way. Can you imagine me not seeing Dark Knight Rises?
Oh, wow.
I've been on location for a TV show every day of my vacation.
How do you not tell them I need 3 hours to go see a movie?
They frown on that when you leave the set to go watch a movie. They say, we're paying you X number of dollars to film. You probably should be here while the cameras are on.
It's not that good. Don't worry about it.
No, well, I heard it's great.
It is great. I'm
check
just
it out as soon as I get a chance. The Dark Knight Rises, number one at the box office, $64.1 million. Dropped off 60% from last week, the naysayers will say. To which I will respond, $64 million. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
When the next highest grossing film for the weekend made $13 million, I think that's a authoritative.
And it's a second week, too. $64 for a first weekend is considered monstrous.
That'd be a hit.
For a regular movie.
Ice Age 4, Continental Drift, made a little over $13 million. That was good enough to make it number two. The Watch, Step Up Revolution, and Ted were the top five. Amazing Spider-Man, Brave, Magic Mike, Savages, and Moonrise Kingdom. Top 10. I did drive to work a couple times here, being called the Dark Knight Rising. That made me yell at my radio. I'll tell you something else.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Then, why would you be listening to our show?
I don't get mired in the details.
Just morbid curiosity.
I can't possibly listen to our show.
I punched around and said, well, I'm going to see what they're doing over there. Well, Jessica Biel and her British accent were on Jay Leno the other night.
That was Adam.
The Dark Knight Rising is on. It's like, what? Who are these people? What happened over
the
there?
The same people that you work with day in
I
and
guess
day
I
out.
Just tune you out when right. I'm here and when I'm listening on the radio as an actual person. I'm like, God damn these people.
Yeah, we fell apart pretty much while you were gone, Rob. The details.
Congratulations to my old buddy from NYPD Blue, Mark Paul Gosselaar, got married over the weekend. He married the lovely Catriona McGinn. They got married on Saturday, and I'm sure it was a star-studded affair with lots of people that I know
that
were
you.
There, but not me. I was not invited. We're friends, but we're just not that good friends. So I was able to wish him the best from afar. This cracks me up. They are going to make another earthquake film. There was a big, big movie back in the 70s called ironically, Earthquake, starring Charlton Heston. 1974 was the last big earthquake movie. J.J. Abrams' production company is apparently taking the task on, and they are going to make another movie about the big one. To which I say, no thank you.
Those of us that live here.
Those who live in earthquake country do not need to see the big 3D earthquake movie, J.J. Abrams.
Oh my God, there's an earthquake! What about that TV movie 10.5 a couple of years ago? That was
that's
very popular.
Right, yeah.
Remember?
I didn't watch that. There have been a couple miniseries like that since, a couple TV shows.
You get the idea the rest of the country will watch it and laugh at us, though, right?
Yes. Here's the thing. I like big action-adventure popcorn movies as much as the next fella, but I tend to enjoy them more when they are fantastical.
Yeah.
When the premise is out there and kind of crazy. Oh, let's watch blue people fly around and have unobtainium and you have sex with their tails, whatever. That's fine with me. But when they're based in reality, like when it's the big, the pandemic outbreak where everybody's face starts to melt because Patient Zero flew over something, or the earthquakes or the natural disaster movies. I don't want to see Tsunami the movie. Yeah. I don't want to see Earthquake the movie. They just
close to reality.
They wig me out. But looks like we may have competing films on the subject. Another production company is developing San Andreas 3D.
All right.
So we may have competing earthquake movies next
Where's
summer.
The outrage there?
Where's the outrage indeed?
Yeah, it was crazy. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I did, yeah. It's a crazy earthquake.
People here act like fools. When there's
oh, man. I don't like earthquakes, and I don't like people talking about them, and I don't like movies made about them. Gwen Stefani and her band No Doubt were on Good Morning America on Friday. Did you guys check them out? I didn't get a chance to see it, but they were on the show on Friday playing, of course, their new single that we're playing here on K-Rock. And they were doing some of the old songs, too, but apparently too much time away from No Doubt has not been kind to Gwen.
Why?
She forgot the lyrics.
Oh.
Yeah.
To the old, new one or an old
to
one?
To a couple of the group's older, of the songs. Older songs. Luckily, the crowd was there to help her out. They were singing along and put her back on the right track.
That's funny.
She thanked the audience for that and also for them being so early at the 7 a.m. sound check for the Good Morning America show. So Gwen bounced back, and she's Gwen. She can do whatever she wants.
Yes.
She's adorable.
I'm just happy No Doubt's back together. Gosh, we missed them.
Yeah, me too. I don't know if I want this, but it looks like I'm stuck with it. The James Bond cologne. You want to smell like James Bond? Just in time for the release of Skyfall. By the end of November, you'll be able to buy it everywhere. James Bond, the fragrance.
When he's dressed up and in a casino, maybe?
Maybe. I don't want him rolling around in the sewers looking for bad guys.
It's a terrible idea.
It's described as a 60s-inspired scent.
That doesn't make me think of good smells.
Smell like the 60s. Depends. Is it crisp, clean, starched shirt Beatles 60s, or is it Grateful Dead in the back of a van selling falafels 60s? That's what I need to know. It includes the smells of apple, moss, lavender, and cardamom.
I don't know what that
See,
is.
I don't know what cardamom is either, but I don't like it.
You know what?
I don't like cardamom. Doesn't sound
the way
good.
It sounds.
Yes.
Ralph, did you see the new Skyfall trailer? And if so, what'd you think?
I saw it online. I saw the commercial spot that they ran in the Olympics. Yeah, it looks awesome.
Looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks terrific.
Looks
Queen's
awesome.
Queen's not in it, though.
No, she's not. She's very disappointed.
His new partner is not in it this time around.
I hope not.
While we're talking about the 60s, the Beatles are going to have another album in the charts this week.
All right.
Brand new album called Tomorrow Never Knows.
That's a terrible idea.
It is. Yeah. It's an album made up of the Beatles' hard rocking songs, All of them previously released.
So it's just
another
repack.
Another repackaging of the Greatest Hits album. But that should put the Beatles somewhere in the top 40, they're saying, this week when it gets released. So they'll
That's
have another
weird.
One.
That's a weird thing.
That is a weird thing.
Because you can go on and pick whatever Beatles songs you want to buy on iTunes. It's just weird that they would kind of have an arbitrary package of songs.
How can you love it? It's crap.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Sad news. In Vegas this weekend, Tenacious D was performing, or they were supposed to perform, but the show got canceled after someone in the crowd got stabbed.
Oh, man. That seems bad.
Jack and Kyle were in the middle of their set when a fight broke out, and a victim was stabbed, taken to the hospital, and apparently he's okay, but police shut down the House of Blues inside Mandalay Bay. And then a concert later that night at the same venue by Steel Panther was also canceled. Well, so there's an upside. I'm kidding. Steel Panther's fine. And do we want the Bret Michaels biopic? Do we need a movie about the life of Bret Michaels?
I don't think so.
Poison frontman Bret Michaels?
No.
He believes his life has had enough drama to be a movie, and that's apparently what's going to happen. He and Charlie Sheen are going to produce it together.
All right.
Oh, wow. Just keeps getting better. Story will begin with Bret's childhood in Pittsburgh through his massive success with Poison, getting conked on the head at the Tony Awards.
Best thing ever.
That's the only scene I really care about. You can make a whole movie about that, and I'd be happy. His brain hemorrhage, his heart surgery.
He was a pussy.
All the rest. So the Bret Michaels movie coming to a theater near you. I hope there's
people love him.
I hope there's an earthquake during it.
The people do love him.
It's in 3D. The people love him. And, you know, I love me some collectibles. I love when they put the props and the movie costumes up for sale, and I love to see what numbers it gets. An original Star Wars Chewbacca mask, actually worn by the actor Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca.
That's got to be nasty by now, right?
Went up for auction, all that yak hair.
Yeah.
Stitched in there with his sweat and everything else. Went up for auction over the weekend. It fetched $172,000.
Wow.
Well, look, here's the thing. They're not making any more of these things, and they are artifacts that were used in these films. You can't get them anyplace else, so I can see why the value has gone up. Original poster art went for $73,000, and a screen-used blaster rifle from the Star Wars franchise fetched $104,000. They're continuing the auction today and tomorrow. Other stuff going up for auction are Hugh Jackman's Wolverine costume, a Christopher Reeve Superman costume. Apparently, the costume... who was the guy who played his dad in that movie? Marlon Brando. Marlon
yes.
Brando's costume is Drell, also going up for auction. So we'll have to wait and see what those pull.
It's a lot of costume, that one.
That's a lot of tinfoil that guy was wearing. So anyway, today's celebrity birthday is Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck. Soon to be seen in Dexter this upcoming season. She's 30 years old. Jamie Presley's 35. Hilary Swank is 38 years old. Christine Taylor, a lovely and talented actress, but also known for being the wife of Ben Stiller, is 41 years old. Tom Green is 41. Christopher Nolan is 42. Simon Baker, the mentalist, he is 43. Terry Crews, former NFLer, now a actor, action star, he's 44 years old. Vivica Fox is 48. Lisa Kudrow is 49. Lawrence Fishburne turns 51. Jean Reno celebrates his 64th birthday. And former California governor and actor Arnold Schwarzenegger is 65. I wonder how many maids he's going to party with today, you think? He's 65. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Good to have you back. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to give away tickets to The Campaign, starring Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis. That looks fantastic. We're going to tell you about zombie bees.
I'm sorry, what now?
Zombie bees.
Really? That's my welcome home present?
Zombie bees.
Zombie bees?
Bees fly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know that or not. There's no slow-walking people. They fly, zombie bees.
They don't fly fast.
You're going to die. And from Total Recall, we've got Jessica Biel.
What?
On tomorrow morning's
show. Will we be able to understand her with her British accent?
Hey, that was Adam Carolla, and I'm standing by that.
I was every bit as guilty as Adam was, though. I think I even started the mistake,
and
he just went along with it.
That's Kate Beckinsale, and we have her later in the week.
Oh, my goodness.
But tomorrow's Jessica.